Hey, Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. Thrilled that you're joining us. Hope you enjoy what you hear. We're 312-981-7200.
And, Steve, we understand you had a tough time getting into work today. You panicked our producer, Kevin.
I did not expect to see you in a timely manner, frankly. Sometimes you cut it kind of close, and traffic was pretty bad everywhere today. And
Asking about him. How does he slam me?
Steve has a gift.
No, you just said that I scared Kevin about you.
Well, he texted me and said, are you going to make it on time? I understand traffic's really bad. And I said, unless I'm driving into something, I'm like par for the course right now. Why?
Well, I'm happy for you. My bladder set a new record on the drive-in. So.
Well, the traffic was understandable. We did get a half an inch of snow, and it's very tough to drive in that.
A half an inch at most in a couple of spots.
Right.
Although, Bill, I will be honest, in Steve's defense, I don't know why I'm defending him.
Why do I need defending?
Well, you leave earlier than we do, and it was rougher at that time. The plows weren't, you know, all caught up by the time we left a little bit later. What'd you leave, like 7?
A little before 7, and it took me a couple of hours to get in.
Wow.
I just think if there's anything even slightly out of the ordinary, sometimes it's snow, sometimes it's rain, sometimes it's too much sun, everybody just drives at half speed for some weird reason. It wasn't slippery, really, was it?
No. Oh.
The time we got out there.
And, you know,
was it slippery earlier?
Jill can tell you there were a lot of accidents today.
Were there?
Especially on I-80 and 80-94.
Can you tell us that, Jill? A lot of accidents?
She refuses. She will not tell us that.
Corroborating your story.
Nope. She says just the opposite.
She's always hated me.
No,
there were a lot of accidents. I take the Edens and Kennedy, and there weren't problems, accidents there, but... it was just a really slow day.
But even like on the local streets, and they didn't need to be plowed. We got, honestly, by me, we had less than a half an inch of snow. But everybody, because I drive on the smaller streets for a little while before I get to the major thoroughfare, everybody was driving at half speed, really, really careful, both hands on the wheel, straight ahead.
We got a little more than that because the plows were out. Jim had to shovel this morning.
Yeah.
So
you did get a little bit.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, again, Steve left at the peak of rush hour, which now spans from, 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. at night?
The rush hour is a long, long process.
What the hell?
I know. It's also fun to see somebody, like I said, we didn't get that much snow, but you'll be driving and you'll see a car next to you that's just covered in snow. I always wonder, where were you? Where did you come from? Like the Yukon?
The Arctic tundra.
They'd have to.
Was it a Yukon that they were driving?
Ironically.
No, it was a tundra.
Wow.
We name our cars after our worst weather.
I like it.
Sure.
Yeah, and you got to brush everything off. You can't just do the front window. You got to do the sides and the back. Although my windshield wiper fluid is frozen.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
So I have to pull over and put bottled water. You know, and I know the people at Flint, Michigan are going, God, we could drink that water.
Right.
But I have to put it on the, you know, windshield and then put the wipers on.
Did you just see there was something on Huffington Post over the weekend, and I never really thought about this. I know that people from time to time, if their windshield freezes over, think it's okay to get like a bucket of hot water and throw it on the windshield to melt the ice.
But what happens is
it'll crack your windshield. It doesn't do it all the time. But the change in temperature going from extreme cold to extreme heat could easily crack your windshield. So what they say to do is you mix up a formula that's two parts rubbing alcohol and one part warm water, put it in a spray bottle and just spray it. And it looks like a miracle when you see it done. It's just all of a sudden there's no snow or ice.
Really?
And they said it doesn't freeze. That combination of rubbing alcohol to water, it's impossible to freeze. So they said just keep a spray bottle in your car.
You know, there's a product they sell.
Yeah, the blue liquid that you can get anywhere?
No. Something that you spray, you're supposed to spray on your windows.
Rain-X?
That would keep the snow from sticking, and that's all it is.
It probably is rubbing alcohol and water. Yeah. But
I don't have a meth lab in my car, so it's not like I can whip it out.
It's so simple that, like, even I have no science part of my brain at all, and I'm like, two parts rubbing alcohol, one part warm water. I can do that. I can't make waffles, but I know how to do that.
Does it have to be warm water? Can't it just be room temperature?
Yeah, I think room temperature would also work, I would
imagine. Because I know, actually, I realize now that I have one of those big blue jugs in the back of the Jeep.
Yeah, Dolly Parton's birthday yesterday, by the way. Happy birthday, Dolly.
I'm going to miss her.
No, she's not dead.
We're not Dr. Death. We hadn't talked about Glenn Frey.
No, we did not.
But that's the only thing. And I didn't know about cracking the windshield.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, if you just put water, it doesn't really work, because the whole point is when you get the antifreeze mixed in with that blue solution.
Yes.
But I mean, when you're desperate, that's what you got to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just want one clean sweep.
That's, I know, I am so with you. Right. And you know, now the newfangled windshield wipers, you pull them in and it will squirt and start the wipers going.
Right.
So if there's no squirt, it's just smearing everything.
It makes
everything.
It worse and worse and worse. I know.
So we all
got
here.
Why can't they figure that out? Isn't there some way to figure that out just a little bit better? Because what you say is true. It's just you have one where your windshield looks great, and then your windshield goes an extra time or two and messes it up over and over.
Yeah, the timing's off.
Yeah.
As you guys were talking, state police just put out a statement saying, you know, quit it. It's still bad.
You're just saying that to make yourself feel better.
Troopers are on the scene of four separate crashes and six vehicles that have slid off into the ditch on interstates or state highways in the area right now.
Then there is some ice somewhere.
Yeah. In the state highways and interstates, not on the Edens.
I guess.
It's an interstate.
Yeah. Well, I guess, but I'm thinking
it's not a guess. It's an interstate. Yeah.
But I'm thinking out in the rural roads.
I know what you're thinking. I'm just telling you it's an interstate.
I wish it took you longer and you didn't have a Snapple bottle with the wide mouth to go use it in the car.
Oh, no. All right. A quick break. Everybody go to their neutral corners. We'll come back out. A lot more show coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All these celebrities are doing wonderful things. Cher, as we learned yesterday, has sent 180,000 cases of water to the people in Flint, Michigan.
Wasn't that nice of her?
It was really nice. Jamie Foxx pulls a driver from a burning vehicle.
Wow, did you see that? Foxx explained that? That was amazing.
It's inconceivable, because everything has to happen just the right way. That guy could have perished easily.
And again, you know, Jamie Foxx, superhero, he cut the seatbelt this is where people, and I'm hoping you're not one of them.
What?
This is where people say, see? If I didn't have my seatbelt on, I could have gotten out.
I would never say that.
Okay, good.
I would never say that. But, you know, you have to make, if you're Jamie Foxx or someone in that position, you have to make a very, very quick split-second decision saying that car could explode at any second. Do I want to just stand here and let a guy potentially blow up and die, or do I want to try to do something? Good for him for saving him.
Although, isn't this the difference? It happened, like, right by his house. He heard it happen. I would... That's your home.
Right, but he said that it exploded just seconds after he got the guy out.
Yeah. Yeah.
God. Yes, he sprung into action, saved a driver from an overturned burning car. Jeez, God.
I know. But you know what I mean, where you're there and you're seeing the situation and you're doing the math in your head saying, "Look, I don't know how much time is involved here, but that's not good. That car is going to explode." Do I have time to try to untether him and get him out safely or not?
I wonder if you even think about it. I think it was just a reaction. Witnesses tell us Fox told police he heard the accident, ran to the scene, saw the driver buckled into a seat, fearing the burning car would explode. Jamie told cops he unbuckled the man, dragged him about 30 feet away from the accident. He called 911 before his heroics. Cops and firefighters eventually got there and transported the victim to a hospital with major injuries, of course, burns included.
That's great. Fox explain it, and it was a little more detailed. He said that he got there, and the guy in the truck had a paramedic's scissors or something like that. And he said he broke through the window. I think he means the guy in the car.
Yeah.
Fox reached in with the scissors, cut the seatbelt, he said, but then it was around his neck. So he was trying to get it around his neck, and he's like pulled out or something, and the guy stiffened up and got out of it, and he pulled him out through the window.
Wow.
And then he said just a few seconds later it was engulfed in flames.
Wow.
That is amazing. I mean, I've seen accidents happen, and I call 911, and I have not stopped. I haven't seen anything bad.
Right.
But like I see somebody skid out or something, and I will call 911. I'm scared to stop sometimes.
When years and years ago we lived in, I know geographically some people will know what I'm talking about, but others will not. There's an apartment that's the last apartment in Chicago as you're heading north. It's the last apartment before you get to Evanston. And it kind of looks like it juts out over the lake. It's on a street called East Lake Terrace. And I lived in that apartment. And it's kind of a sharp turn. Like once you're moving around Sheridan, it's a sharp turn. And people take that turn very quickly. And I used to say to myself, someday somebody's not going to make that turn successfully. And I was watching TV in my apartment one night. Terry and I were living there, and I heard a loud screech and then a slam.
Oh, I
and
hate
I went,
that
this
screech.
It's
and
the
you're,
worst.
You're always like waiting for that crash afterwards.
Yep, yep. Ugh. Well, it was a terrible crash, and I ran out there, and a couple of other people nearby ran out there. And the guy did not make it. The woman in the passenger seat lived. But you, those few seconds of, what do I do? I'm not trained to do this. I want to help, but I don't know what to do. Because sometimes in an accident, if you move the person,
exactly,
that's the worst thing you could do. But I didn't know if the car was going to explode. But you just saw with this guy, it was his last few moments, and you could just tell, this isn't going to end good.
So how did you guys get the woman out?
Well, that was the thing. By the time paramedics got there, and you know, she was panicking because I don't know if it was her boyfriend or her husband, but she was watching this.
She knew he wasn't in good shape.
Me and another, there was two of us, me and a guy, talking to her and trying to move her face to not watch him because I didn't want her to see him.
That
dying
is a very valuable job, and now you have changed my mind to maybe pull over and help someone, because even just knowing that there's a human there aware,
yeah,
of your situation. And to say, I've called the authorities.
Right. Well, we kept, here's what this guy, and I don't know who this other guy was, but between the two of us, we kept saying, the police are on the way, but all you need to do is stay in this. Don't panic. We're doing everything we can. And the other guy, it was just so sad because you could just see he wasn't going to make it. And in my head, I'm like, if I was in her spot, I wouldn't want to watch this guy. I don't know if it was her boyfriend or husband. I don't want her to see this.
Yeah, but just to have human contact, because imagine if you guys,
right,
didn't come out. So,
right,
now you have changed my mind. I will.
You would stop and do,
yeah,
something.
Because just to have another person saying, the authorities are on their way, what can I do to make you more comfortable? Just,
yeah,
to know you're not alone in that situation.
I know.
So you have changed my mind.
It was, well, thank,
you're my
thank,
hero.
Oh,
Bill,
thank, it's about time that happened. But good for Jamie Foxx, because like I said, that's a split-second decision where you either help or you run, and he saved the guy's life, I believe. I really
Without
do.
Even thinking, it appears. Yeah. And I wish Cher would just send some water to this very radio station, because we never have cups or bottled water at the same time. And there's this really fun guy. Not a fun guy.
Is it Bob the water guy?
Yeah. He comes in here, he delivers the water, and we say he listens to this radio station. It's like, hey, you ever need a water segment? I go, oh, really? What's your name? He goes, Bob. I'm Bob the water guy.
Yeah.
Bob the water guy could maybe, you know, say something if he could bring some water.
Can you, I don't know if you remember the name of the segment that you came up with, the segment that would be about water. It would be, what are you talking about with Bob the water guy?
Oh, yeah.
We would do that from time to time. I think that's a can't miss.
All right. Well, if he brings some water and cups at the same time, if not, let's get Cher on the blower.
See if she'll help us. All right. We got to do a quick break. News is coming up next. And then Tim Ryan and Congressman Bill Foster will join us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here on 720 WGN. And really a great guest that we've had on several times, Tim Ryan, brings with him a pretty important guy. We'd like to welcome Congressman Bill Foster to the studio. Congressman, you represent the 11th District of Illinois, the Aurora, Naperville, Joliet area. Am I correct in saying that?
Roughly right.
And you were at the President Barack Obama's last State of the Union address. You brought Tim Ryan with you, and let's talk a little about that. How did you even hook up with Tim Ryan?
Well, I have been hearing about the epidemic, really, of heroin addiction from my...
We're going to have you talk right into that microphone. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Sure. No, I've been hearing from my constituents of the really what's an epidemic of heroin addiction and the toll it's taking on young lives, old lives, and so Tim has been a major activist in this area and one of the real heroes. You know, he knows all too well the devastating toll that heroin takes on addicts and their families. And despite his own struggles, he's helping others to fight back against addiction. So I asked Tim Ryan to be my guest at the State of the Union speech to highlight this issue and to send a message to my colleagues and to the president about the importance of this problem.
Did you know, Congressman, in advance, President Barack Obama mentioned very early in his speech about what's going on with heroin and heroin addiction. Did you have some advance notice on that? You must have.
We did not.
You didn't?
No, I invited Tim, and frankly, we were both nervous that the whole problem would get ignored. And so when the president mentioned it in his, I think, the third sentence of his speech, as something that Democrats and Republicans should be able to get together. You know, in large part because rural areas are so hard hit by this problem.
And sure. Can I tell you, President Barack Obama has two young daughters. Bill, you have two young daughters. Mm-hmm. I have two young boys. When you have kids, I like to think I'm a pretty hip mom. I had no idea that heroin was so prevalent. And now you're saying in the rural areas, that's something that shocks me.
Yeah. No, this is it's a problem everywhere. And I think there's been a shift in the way people talk about it. In the past, it had been dealt with as a moral failing rather than a treatable medical condition. And one of the things I'd like to talk about are some of the real scientific breakthroughs that are in the pipeline that may transform the care of heroin addicts.
Absolutely.
And Tim Ryan, you're here along with Brad Gerke, you guys, a Man in Recovery Foundation. Every time you're in the studio, people call, they want help, and you've helped them. So thank you so much for that.
No, thank you. I was just talking with you guys earlier. Since we've been on your show four times, we've helped over 150 families.
Excellent.
I mean, that's what it's all about.
And it's the family. It's not just a person who has failed and turned to heroin. It becomes the whole family's problem.
It absolutely does. And nobody grows up and says, I want to be a heroin addict. They made a bad choice and unleashed a very powerful monster. When I was sitting in prison, you know, grasping recovery and reality, my addiction destroyed everything. Shannon, my kids, my mom and dad, my dear friends, I was a tornado of destruction.
All right. And Congressman Bill Foster with us, representing the 11th District of Illinois. There are some things to help people who do that one mistake and take heroin. What were you telling us about off the air that sounds helpful?
Well, you know, I'm a scientist. I'm actually the last PhD scientist in the United States Congress, and so I tend to look at the facts. And one of the interesting facts is that investing in treating addiction doesn't just save lives, it actually saves money. The research indicates that for every dollar that you spend on substance abuse treatment, it saves $4 in health care costs and another $7 in law enforcement and other criminal justice costs. And so when you roll it all up, the cost savings can exceed 12 to 1. And so this is another reason why both parties should get together to increase spending on treatment for addiction because of the huge payoff it has for the taxpayer.
Does that go hand in hand with mental illness? Because there does seem to be a connection.
You know, it's difficult because a lot of people that have substance abuse issues definitely have underlying issues with mental health. Unfortunately, our system's broken right now, and we're starting to make progress. But I could pull this back into the prison systems. You know, we've got to look at this differently. Yes, we need to arrest drug dealers, but drug addicts don't need to be going to prison. It's not helping them. But if I flip it to when I was in Sheridan Correctional Center and they had the Westcare program in there, that absolutely saved my life.
But there was a program in there.
There was a program. There's 28 prisons in Illinois, and for the males, there's one drug treatment program, and that's Sheridan and Westcare. We need more opportunities. We need more resources, but we need more long-term treatment. Putting someone, a heroin addict, in treatment for 3 to 4 weeks is not the answer. It needs to be 6 months to a year. But those are things our foundation is focusing on, is truly working with the people, whatever treatment center they come out of, whether it's a Banyan, it's Abraxas Interventions, it's a SHARE program. It doesn't matter. The Salvation Army, it's working with them after and truly explaining how to live recovery. But as the congressman will mention, there's other products out there, such as Vivitrol.
Yeah,
Tell us about this.
That's one of the real potential breakthroughs. It is a drug that's called an opioid antagonist. It's a shot that you get in the butt once a month, and during the month after you've received that shot, you do not feel any. You can take heroin and not feel any effect at all. So it blocks the receptors in your brain for heroin, and so this has. I had very encouraging early results. It's in the process of a very large statistics field trial that should finish in about April, probably get published within a couple months. And at that point, I am going to just put the pedal to the metal in getting that deployed as rapidly as we can throughout our communities.
There are other drugs we've talked about. I don't know anything about them. Is it methadone?
Suboxone. You know, those are opiates. My personal opinion, I've been on methadone. I've been on Suboxone. You don't treat an opiate addiction with another opiate.
It seems pointless.
It does. Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. Are there people that are successful that have done it? Yes, but they're very far and few between. And it takes away a lot of my emotional capabilities. This is, for me, it was more of a spiritual program, getting right with my higher power, getting honest, being open-minded and willing to change. There is no silver bullet to treatment. With the Vivitrol, if you're working with a good treatment program and getting into recovery, you got the opportunities. And like Banyan Treatment Center, who I work for full-time, our facility in downtown Naperville, we offer the Vivitrol shot. So
non-addictive? That's non-addictive?
Non-addictive.
But it's not going to work by itself.
No.
You need the social support. It's a crucial part of a complete treatment program. You know, it's not cheap, but as I mentioned, the cost savings and everything from police work to incarceration and the social cost of just having people not productive members of society is huge.
So when you know this, I think you threw out the statistic earlier, it's like a 12-to-1 ratio. When you know this, who could possibly be against this? I mean, all the math is there. Everything that you would need to make this argument is there. How could somebody vote this down or not want to have something like this?
Well, I think part of it is that we need a concrete plan.
Yeah.
And, I'd been trying this with Vivitrol a couple of years ago before the scientific evidence was really there. And so I'm really excited that there will be solid evidence that you can point to that specifically Vivitrol is working. Even sort of traditional social support-only programs have some effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like methadone work to some extent, but I think you have to come into a methadone clinic every single day.
Every day.
And if you miss a day,
you're going to get profusely sick.
Yeah. And so it's not the same. This works very well. The once-per-month shot works very well with a parole scenario.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And a lot of the drug courts are starting to implement it, too, for the opiate addicts. You know, they're keeping them on the Vivitrol shot. You know, we got to start looking at things with a whole different attitude.
Sure.
New pair of glasses.
People listening right now are thinking, boy, you get sick. It takes over your life. It ruins your life. Why would someone do heroin? We're going to take a break and maybe find out why someone starts using heroin. As you woke up, or as you said, people don't wake up and say, my goal is to be a heroin addict. It just happens. We'll find out more about that, 312-981-7200. We have Congressman Bill Foster in the studio, Tim Ryan, a man in recovery foundation, AMIRF.org, Brad Gerke, who also works with Tim Ryan. We've got your questions. I'm sure you have questions, rather. Hopefully we have the answers. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder in the studio with us today. Congressman Bill Foster represents the 11th District of Illinois. I didn't really know what that meant. I asked you. It's the Aurora, Naperville, Joliet area around there. You brought Tim Ryan, a man in recovery foundation, with you to the State of the Union address, Barack Obama's last State of the Union address. And heroin is something that we all hear about now. I've been shocked about it. Before we went to break, why would someone try heroin when they know that it's not going to end in a good way?
Well, we're seeing two major gateways to this. The first one is young kids making mistakes. And the second one is abuse of prescription painkillers. And when you think about young kids making mistakes, the way I visualize this is that you have kids that are playing near a cliff. They don't know how big the cliff is. They don't know exactly where it is. They don't know that the position of that cliff is different for every single person. But when they fall off the cliff, if you yell at them and say, complain that, well, you shouldn't have been playing by the cliff, that's not what they need. They need help. They need to be rescued before they hit bottom. And so this is what really Tim has dedicated his life to.
And you're a saint, Tim Ryan. I'm telling you, you bring people like Brad Gerke with you. We've heard your story. You were a heroin addict. You ended up using heroin with your son. Your son has died. Your son's best friend just recently died. You've lost so many people, and now you are helping others. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and we're at the wake of another dear friend of ours, Michael Wood, Friday night in St. Charles. And I've been working with the family. And someone was asking me, where do we get a lot of our donations? Unfortunately, it's families like that I work with. They had the memorial funds donated to our foundation, and we've raised almost $8,500. Now, unfortunately, in Michael's passing, we're going to be able to help a lot more people. Nobody chooses to. Brad, you know, why do people become a heroin addict?
I do it for the sense of ease and comfort, you know. When I'm sober, you know, stone cold sober, I'm restless, irritable, discontent. I have a lot of shame, guilt, remorse from my past, the things I've done. And I find that, you know, using drugs really gets me out of body, gets me out of mind. It allows me to have that sense of ease and comfort that I'm not able to get while sober.
You're escaping.
Exactly.
Basically. And when is the last time you've done heroin?
Oh, it was September 14th, 2010.
Fantastic.
That's awesome. News. Congratulations.
Why is this such an issue, though? I think in the back of everyone's head, there's this risk-reward factor. Why does that not play into somebody?
It doesn't. The kids today, even my son Nick, when Nick died on his 9th overdose, you know, he thought he was invincible. I overdosed 8 times, have been clinically dead 3. Not me, but when you're in your addiction that deep, I could care less if I died or not.
You think somebody would have one overdose, and not everyone listening who's done heroin has overdosed, but you'd think you have one overdose? I'm never going to do that again. Too close to the brink of death.
You know, the crazy thing, and this is something else I'd ultimately like to work with the congressman on, when people overdose, they're going to hospitals. 4 hours later, they're walking right out of the door. We need laws changed to where if someone just comes into a hospital, that if they did not have Narcan, would be dead. Why in our right minds are we letting them walk out of a hospital? Because every time I overdosed and got out of the hospital, I went right back to using drugs.
I bet that's pretty common.
It's very common. You know, unfortunately, we track the epidemic by how many deaths there are. There are Lou Lang and a lot of individuals have been have it now to where hospitals have to report how many overdoses have come through so we can start really tracking this epidemic. But it's absolutely everywhere.
Congressman Bill Foster, we know we only have you to 11. Tim Ryan can stick around and listeners always have questions. But what can we do to help move your plan forward?
Well, what I'm doing in Washington is really you have to attack this problem on two fronts, on the front of prevention and treatment. And so I've introduced two pieces of legislation to combat this epidemic. There's the Opioid Prevention and Treatment Act and the Expanding Opportunities for Recovery Act. The Opioid Abuse Prevention Act would work to combat the prescription drug abuse epidemic in a handful of ways. First, it would create a program to analyze the prescribing behavior and share information about improper prescribing behavior with the State Health Professional Board, because as I mentioned, it is abuse of painkillers, of prescription painkillers, that is a major gateway, particularly for adults, towards heroin. Secondly, it would encourage states to implement drug take-back programs so you don't have a whole cabinet full of meds that your kids or your kids' friends will go take advantage of to have pill parties. Thirdly, it would equip doctors with more resources to help identify potential drug abuse patients by providing funds to train more personnel in interventions and in patient screening. And so that's on the prevention side. On the recovery side, I've introduced the Expanding Opportunities for Recovery Act, and that would remove barriers to addiction treatment by providing grants. At some point, you need money for this, for residential and inpatient opioid addiction treatment for those who cannot afford it, which is unfortunately a very large fraction of heroin addicts because they go through all their resources before they hit bottom and ask for help.
And it's expensive. A family who has a kid who is a heroin addict may not have the proper tools or the funds to get them help, but you can't give up.
That's right. You know, the human cost is enormous, but the cost to the taxpayer is also enormous. As I mentioned earlier, roughly $12 saved for every dollar that you spend on this.
How sad is it, Congressman, that heroin is so inexpensive to obtain, but to get out of heroin, that's where the costs add up. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just, I guess, the way the universe is set up right now. And there's another very useful thing that the federal government could do, which is continue the push into research on fundamental mechanisms of addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, we're moving away from treating this as a moral failing and more toward a treatable medical condition. A big part of that is that we can see with functional brain scans the difference in the neural patterns in an addict versus a non-addict. And if you can diagnose the problem, you can cure it. If you can understand the fundamental biochemical mechanisms. Actually, at Argonne National Lab, there's a Nobel Prize-winning scientist who's using their giant photon source to directly image the molecules that are involved in addiction. This, we hope, will lead to new drugs to, to prevent, better versions of Vivitrol and non-addictive painkillers, which would just be transformative. The fact that when you have severe pain, the best drugs we know are also addictive is something that would be wonderful if we can get around.
Well, definitely all steps in the right direction. What can we do, just the people listening? I don't have, knock on wood or formica or whatever this is, I have no one in my family battling a heroin addiction yet, I guess I should say. You never know. There are people that are. What can we, just as listeners and people, do to help your cause?
Well, get the word out. I think Tim's website, his phone number, have you gone through that? Or?
Oh, we definitely will. We plug it a lot. Our website is www.amirf.org. Our phone number is 1-844-611-4673. Pick up the phone, reach out, shoot us an email, whatever.
And they say write a letter to your congressman. There's no need for me to write a letter to you, Bill Foster, because you know about it. So do you have a website? Is there something that we can find out more information? Do you have a website you'd like to send people to?
Yeah, it's foster.house.gov.
Great work.
Right. Well, thank you. I have to jump right now, but I just wanted to thank Tim and thank you for getting the word out on this very important
Absolutely.
Subject.
That's Congressman Bill Foster. We're going to take a break. Tim, you can stay, right? You
Always.
And Brad are able to
Always.
Stay.
Absolutely.
We've got a bunch of calls, people who want to talk to you about this, and we welcome those calls and texts, 312-981-7200. We'll be back right after the news with that. Thanks again, Congressman Foster. Appreciate it. More in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, it's a very special episode of the Bill and Wendy Show, and we like having you up here, Tim Ryan. Is it nice to say I wish we didn't have to have you up again because then no one would have an addiction to heroin?
Absolutely. It'd be great if I was unemployed due to this, but I'm not. And, I'm the face of heroin. I'm the voice of heroin. Brad's the face of heroin. And there's an army. We're warriors out there. We're nationwide.
There are many people that want to talk to you. We're at 312-981-7200. If you have a question for Tim and for Brad, if you have a comment, 312-981-7200.
Debbie has been on hold for quite a long time, so Debbie, hop to it. Hey, Debbie.
Yes.
Hi. It's your turn. Did you have a question?
Hi. Well, I have a comment, actually.
Okay.
I don't know if the doctor's aware of this, but I'm seeing a huge problem happening in the area where I live and all around the country. They've made the drug laws so strict now because of abuse of opiates that now it's a real hassle for doctors and patients to get pain meds. I am someone who suffers from a lot of back issues for years. I've had surgeries. I take pain medications.
And you don't abuse it, and you don't give it to kids, and why shouldn't you be able to have it?
Right. And my last doctor appointment, she did a urine test. It came back negative. And I told her that's physically impossible. I take my medication every day. She said, it came back negative for opiates. You broke your contract with me. I'm not prescribing for you anymore. So I was upset. I went on the internet. I literally found hundreds of pages of people that this has happened to, that their doctors said, oh, you have negative. They take it. People with MS, people with very serious cancer issues.
You know what I could say on that is,
and Tim is not a doctor.
No, I'm not
say
a
that
doctor,
right now.
But the tolerance level for the opiates you have in your system, a lot of them they're not in your system for a very long time. But it's a whole process is broken. There are plenty of people out there that have chronic pain and need to have pain meds. And that's one facet, but then there's plenty of people that are abusing and doctor shopping and over prescribing. So, we're in a catch-22 situation here.
Yes, it is. But what I was going to say is also what I have found with during my research on the internet is they're saying that the heroin problem is just going to get worse because people who have these false negative tests and their doctors cut them off, they're now going to heroin.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, the oldest heroin addict I've worked with in the past year and a half is 78 years old. I'm currently working with a Western suburb school teacher that's been teaching for 30 years and is shooting heroin every day.
See, why am I so naive? That shocks the hell out of me.
Yeah,
it shocks the hell out of me when I got a negative test for stuff I take every single day.
And you know, sometimes there's false negatives or false positives. Ask the doctor to retest you, you know. But a lot of these doctors are driven by fear of what could happen, or they might have overprescribed. There's so many variables in this. And that's where you need to call your local congressmen and senators and bring this to their awareness.
Thank you so much, Debbie. So sorry you're going through all that. And really, I mean, I know a doctor works out of fear, but if they have a woman who has these injuries, why wouldn't they prescribe to her?
Well, one of the local news stations last night had a story, a segment on an individual that died from methadone and all these pain pills, and they were showing hundreds of pill bottles. This doctor was prescribing this gentleman 600 Vicodin a month. That's ludicrous. The doctor is now going to the prison system.
600 a month?
600 a month. When I had a back injury due to being from when I was a competitive water skier, the doctor was prescribing.
Did you work for the Tommy Bartlett Water Show?
I skied with the Twin Lake Aquanauts and did a short stint at SeaWorld. In Cypress Gardens, a long time, a very short, about
you
2 days.
You have such an interesting life.
Yeah.
Can I just tell
yeah,
you that?
Yeah, barefoot water skiing was my specialty. But that's where I blew out L4, L5, and S1 in my lower back at 21 years old, and I was prescribed 300 Vicodin a month. I didn't like what the pain pills did to me at the
Gives
time.
Me a headache, makes me sick to my stomach. Why do you keep taking them?
It's amazing what I was able to do holistically through acupuncture, things along those lines. I haven't had back pain in a long time. And guess what? Pain's just a weakness leaving your body, for me at least.
All right. And again, it's some inner strength you need to get over this. It's not just this Vivitrol that Congressman Bill Foster was speaking of. It's getting help in many ways, isn't it?
Brad, go.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was a 12-step program. You know, for me, I was very delusional in my addiction. You know, I had an obsession that always told me the lie that I can use successfully this time. Here's how, you know, somehow, some way, someday. Now, on the flip side of that is working through the 12-step program, I go about a complete spiritual awakening. You know, the change in my ideas, my emotions, my attitudes. You know, if I'm not thinking the same way that I was before as a direct result of working through these, I have no reason to pick up. You know,
and the things we do today, helping other people, these are the things that keep me grounded, mm-hmm. that keep me sober. I still attend 4 meetings a week. I still work with the sponsor. I sponsor other people outside everything else I do. My recovery is number one in my life, my relationship with my God. Without that, I'm absolutely dead in the water.
Brad, I have a quick question. Do other members of your family have addictive tendencies?
Yeah, you know, as I go throughout, you know, being sober and these kinds of things, a little bit more is revealed to me. My parents directly know, you know, but uncles, you know, great uncles, aunts, all these kinds of things. Yes, it is in my family.
Did it manifest itself with drugs or with other things?
With alcohol.
With alcohol?
Yeah.
Right.
Addiction's addiction. Alcohol, cocaine, benzos, heroin.
Yeah.
Can you have an addiction to one thing and not another thing?
No.
Absolutely. Then how come an addiction to nicotine is very common among people getting rid of the heroin in their lives?
Well, you know, I didn't smoke when I was in prison, and I got out and I started smoking. But coffee, I drank a lot of coffee, and I do smoke a pack of cigarettes a day at least. It's not altering my mind to the sense of I can't think rationally.
It is a different kind of
drug. It's not like alcohol or drugs. And Bill, you'd ask me, you know, did you ever do heroin and drive? That's what sent me to prison. I overdosed while driving and hit 2 cars and almost killed 4 people. I woke up in a hospital, in West Suburban Hospital, not knowing what I did.
I'm just surprised that if you could beat heroin and your brain understands what addiction is, you can't beat nicotine at this point.
Oh, I could.
Maybe you don't
I
want
could.
To.
No, I enjoy getting up.
You need
and
some
smoking.
Vices? Is that it?
It has a lot to do with the willingness, too.
Yeah. You know,
for me, like the pain isn't great enough when it comes to nicotine. I was able to quit last winter. For some reason, somebody handed me a cigarette when I was out snowboarding. I smoked. Before I knew it, I was at the gas station buying a pack, you know?
But cigarettes are not ruining your life like heroin or alcohol would.
Yet. Yet. When I get lung cancer, they probably will. But you know what? I look at my crazy life. I shouldn't be here. The chicken before the egg. But when it comes to mind-altering substances, marijuana, alcohol, any drugs, I won't touch them.
It's just, to me, it's tragic because you're devoting your life to saving people, and I would hate for you to get that word that you're not going to be here anymore and you wouldn't be able to help people anymore because you're giving into cigarettes. That's, I know that's selfish.
Boy, now you got
think
me thinking, Bill.
But
maybe,
really,
maybe next time I'm on, I will be in remission
cigarette
from
free,
smoking cigarettes.
I would
cigarettes.
Like that. All right.
All right, another break, a couple more calls, 312-981-7200. If you have questions, and we obviously can't get to everyone, you can go to Tim Ryan's website. It's AMIRF.org. It stands for A Man in Recovery Foundation. You have helped a lot of our listeners who couldn't afford to get treatment help. So donations, you can do that too at AMIRF.org. It's Tim Ryan, Brad Gerke, Bill and Wendy. We'll be right back, 720 WGN. All right, we have a couple of questions. We're talking with Tim Ryan and Brad Gerke. Tim Ryan has put together A Man in Recovery Foundation. You can find him at AMIRF.org. Brad Gerke works with Tim. You have been heroin-free for how long again, Brad?
A little over 5 years.
Good for you.
Fantastic.
Keep it going. You had mentioned the 12-step program. We have two calls that we really want to get to. Michael is one of them. And, Michael, you had a comment about that, huh?
I do. And Bill and Wendy, you guys are always the greatest. And so thank you so much for dedicating so much time to a critical issue. I just wanted to point out, and I know that Brad and Tim will definitely acknowledge this, they had mentioned God and, religious or Christian things. I just want to say those people that are in recovery, which I am, we always acknowledge that we accept anybody. So you have a higher power. So if you don't acknowledge God, you don't acknowledge Christianity or religion or anything like that, those groups, AA, whoever, they will accept you, they will embrace you, and I just wanted to say I heard that, and I just didn't want that to scare anybody away from going to accept help for their addiction.
I absolutely agree, and I call God God. I don't know what God is. There's a power greater than myself. What I say is, this is not a religious program. It's a spiritual program. My motto is religion's for people that are afraid to go to hell. Spirituality's for people that have walked through hell. There's agnostics. There's atheists. The chicken before the egg. But I shouldn't be sitting here right now, but I absolutely concur. And I want people to understand, just because I attend 12-step meetings, there's wonderful programs like Celebrate Recovery, seeing a therapist. Some people try Smart Recovery. I don't care what you do to get sober, but you better change every aspect of your life or you're dead in the water.
Michael, how's it going for you?
It's going great. I mean, the when you go to meetings and you meet people that you would never meet in any other situation, you will never be asked to leave. You'll never be pushed out. You'll never have a situation where you aren't welcomed with open arms for many people that you would never have met in your life. And it is just so cathartic.
Do you want to share how long you've been off of heroin?
I am an addict. By the grace of God, I've not ever tried heroin.
Good for you.
So, yeah, but I the only thing with what Tim just said, I'm not into the heroin, but with what Tim just said, I completely acknowledge that. I just wanted to call in, and thank you so much for Kevin taking my call, that I just didn't want it to scare anybody away, and I acknowledge what Tim just said, that he had mentioned God, and I think maybe Brad had said something else. I just don't want it to scare anybody away, because you will never be questioned in any one of those meetings for not having a God or Christian
for
or
what you believe in.
Power.
Michael, continued success to you. Keep it up. Very brave words from you. And I think we have time for one more. And this is John. Hi, John. We're talking with Tim Ryan and Brad Gerke, A Man in Recovery Foundation. You had a question?
Hello, I'm Ian Bill. My thing is, I have a 20-year-old son in rehab. He's been in two different county jails. It's not heroin, it's alcohol and drugs. At this point, he's only been in rehab for 7 days, and our insurance company is trying to chase him out of there. I just need to know what our steps are as far as keeping him there. And then what
7 days sure doesn't seem like a long enough time, does it?
No, it doesn't, considering he was picking up a fifth to a half a gallon of booze a day.
See, that's the problem. What type of insurance? Does he have a PPO, an HMO, or state
insurance?
He's
under my insurance still to this point. It's a PPO.
See, now that's a crazy thing, because with Banyan Treatment Center, who I work for out of Pompano Beach, Florida, if someone has a solid PPO policy, I can put you in my treatment center anywhere from, 3 to 6 months. And it's all paid for, you know. And if you're interested, it's 1-844-4-BANYAN, B-A-N-Y-A-N. But a lot of the places here, 3 to 4 weeks, you're out the door.
And you're not ready to be.
But then what we do, that's where we can come in and work with your son. And truly, treatment's just the beginning to get everything out of you. It's truly when the rubber hits the road, getting your son to acknowledge recovery, get into some type of support group, and start working on himself to change. But if he doesn't and is not willing to change every aspect of his life, he will go back to his drug or alcohol. Drug of choice.
Well, he did admit himself to rehab. He was ready for the change. He does want to stay. He's making progress. He's on the 12-step program. He's, you know, achieving his different goals at this time. But they want him to be picked up by the end of the week here, and I don't feel as if he's ready. And the other thing is, I work full-time, 60 hours a week. My wife works full-time. He doesn't have a driver's license, so I'm not sure how you go about getting the aftercare and the programs you're referring to.
Reach out to me after the show. You can email me at tryan@amirf.org. Or you can call me at 844-611-4673, and I'll be glad to help you out, guide and direct, and do whatever we can do to help your son out.
Okay, one final question. You do conduct meetings in Crystal Lake area.
We run support Tuesday groups, night. Yes. We run a support group Tuesday night in Crystal Lake at the other side, which is a sober club. We're starting one next Tuesday in New Lenox. We have them in Princeton, Illinois, in Streeter, in Dixon, Illinois, in Naperville. We're all over. All that is listed on our website, www.amirf.org. And please show up. Our support groups, the loved ones come with the person struggling at the same time.
Very good.
John, good luck with all this. Really? I know it's really knocking you, but I hope it gets better soon. We all do.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Good luck, John. And just for the people out there, when John talks about his son, we all have issues with our kids at some point, some more severe than others, but you're not bad people because you drink too much or you do too much heroin. It's not that you're bad. It's
no.
Just you've made a poor choice.
People made bad choices. Yeah,
we all do every day.
Sure, there's a few creeps out. You know, out of for every 100 people, 2 are a real creep. Most people are really good people. Addicts, alcoholics are some of the greatest people. That's why I'm gravitated towards them, and I want to help guide and direct. But we just made some bad choices. Nobody wants to be an alcoholic. Nobody wants to be a heroin addict, a pill popper, snorting cocaine. But the unmanageability is gone, and they don't have the tools, the coping skills, or life skills to live life on life's terms. If you want to check us out on our website, I have a number of speaking events coming up. We're doing an event Friday night in Naperville at the Alive Center, a workshop for 13 to 19-year-old kids. We got a lot of cool things coming up. We have our Cop the Kid and the Convict program. We have the Dare to Know program. We do speaking in high schools, whatever. Send us an email. We'll be glad to talk
with
you.
Give the email just one more time, if you wouldn't mind.
tryan@amirf.org.
We don't have time this time, but next time we're going to talk about the possibility of you doing a reality show. I know we ran out of time, but I know that that's a very good possibility. I hope that happens. It'll
absolutely
help even more people.
Thank you.
So there is hope. From hope.
From dope
from
to
dope
hope.
To hope. I say it backwards.
From dope to hope. Absolutely. You know, you have two people sitting here that couldn't stay sober for 5 minutes, let alone 5 hours or 5 days. You know, between the two of us, we're coming up on 9 years sober. So, yeah, we
good
can do it. You can do it.
Congrats, guys.
Thank
thanks
you
for being
thank
here
you
so
as
much
usual.
We really appreciate it. That's Tim Ryan and Brad Gerke. We're going to take a quick break. Kim with the news, and then more show coming your way. Next, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Let's get down tonight or today with Frank Fontana. He is an amazing design man. What's the best way to
you can't
present
sum up
you
Frank Fontana?
You
in a
said handsome.
He is handsome.
Bill, thank you for that.
You're welcome
I
for that.
Happened to catch that. I turned on the radio and said Frank Fontana handsome, and Bill said it, and I thought it was awkward at first, but
nope.
I appreciate it. I like it.
All right.
Design man is good enough. You know, Renaissance man. I don't know. you think you come up with something.
Contributor to some of your finer network television shows. I think you could throw that in.
Yeah, what's going
that
on?
That could be true. Today Show design expert, all that stuff.
WNBA scoring champion. You can toss that in if you like.
That's anything a slam.
Exactly. I'm sorry, guys. I know I'm supposed to be there. Had some kind of family stuff going on, but it's all good. I appreciate the you guys understanding. And I want to share with you, you know, because this is a time of year that all the magazines come out with their, all the design magazines come out with their, like, hot trends for 2015.
Sure.
And, Bill, because you are so interested in home decorating, I thought this would be right up your alley.
I would love to discuss this with you. What are some of the big trends for 2016, Handsome Frank?
So... Oh, boy. What did she call you about the gut boy? Is that what it is?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, gut boy. Okay.
Inner gut, we'll where it counts.
We refer to each other as Handsome Frank and Gut Boy.
Yep.
So, I am not watching that cartoon, guys.
black stainless steel. Have you heard of it?
Sure.
Yes, you have not.
I have. I know what this is. I've seen it.
Like a gunmetal.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's really pretty. I like it.
Because everybody and his uncle wanted stainless steel in their kitchen. We just got plain black. And then for years, I had stainless steel envy for all my appliances. But I'm glad I didn't go that route because now there's black stainless steel.
Well, right. So it's not like your black glossy appliances that you may be referring to with like the laminate type material on it. This is actually a stainless derivative, and they're doing like this gunmetal steel, and it looks sick. I mean, I don't, you know, it's so hard when these trends start to buck a little bit and change, because then you got to work on the integration of this and. You know, I think it's going to take a little time, but I like it because everyone's so fixated on, just like when granite was like everybody needed granite in their home, and then, you know, 10 years go by and all of a sudden it's like, everyone's got granite, what are we going to do next? So then things like quartz and silestones come out and they become the new hot things, and they're neutral and muted. So this is kind of moving in that direction. I think it'll be interesting to watch. You know, my prediction is that it's going to be a slow mover and then maybe just kind of maintain a third tier. I think stainless will still be pretty prominent in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I'm still jealous. I still have stainless envy.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, Wendy, I just want to say on that note, they do sell an actual stainless steel sticker that you could put on your current appliances.
What?
Yes. There's a company, you have to Google it. I don't know the company exactly, but I've used it before.
I'm doing it. I'm going to put it on Bill.
Put it on me.
You're
going to
look like the Tin Man.
I'm fine with that. I'm not afraid. Is it expensive, though? If you're getting black stainless steel, for some reason, Frank, that sounds pricey to me, is it?
No, they got to keep it pretty compatible. I mean, it'll probably be in the early, you know, first year or so, be a little bit, just like when they had the flat screen TVs come out, it's always super expensive, and then 6 months later, they're like half the price.
Right.
It's going to be a similar thing, where the price tag will be a slight bit higher because it'll be a novelty, and then it'll level off and be compatible with, you know, stainless.
Frank, all of our appliances at my house are in avocado. That's still in, right? That's still very popular?
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
And funny enough, Bill, yes. There is this movement going on. There's a company out there that's pushing this.
We had turquoise, I just want it to be known, at my mom's house.
Nice.
Turquoise.
Yeah. It really depends on what you're doing with the rest of it. You know, it if you have avocado countertops from, like, the mid-century era, that's probably not cool. But, you know, avocado accents here and there, not a bad thing.
Frank, you're too young to have lived through this, but for those of us who did, it was quite an eye-opener when you'd go into somebody's kitchen. Everybody's aunt had a kitchen where everything was an avocado.
And orange. Gold.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it faux steel?
Like the mid-60s.
Is it faux steel film?
Yes.
F-A-U-X. And you can put it, they have faux granite, too.
And it's a sticker?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
It's like contact paper kind of thing.
Oh.
It is. It's a little more industrial grade, and you want to look for the one that's actually this ultra-thin, real, like, sheet of metal. So when you touch it, it feels, looks, and, you know, leaves fingerprints just like a stainless steel would. And, you know, I play with it. It's a little tricky. You know, if you're going to do it, Wendy, I don't live too far from you. Invite me over for dinner, and I'll help you out.
Okay.
That's how it starts.
And we're getting this. El Decor just released this. It's their 10 hot decor trends for 2016. I'm debating some of these. You know, formal dining rooms is their number two. You know, here's the thing. It's like, how often do you guys, if you even have one, use your formal dining
room? Thanksgiving. That's the only time my dining room table is cleaned off.
Really?
Maybe.
Yeah. How about you, Bill?
Infrequently, I would say maybe once or twice a month tops. That's not infrequently.
That's a lot.
Is that a lot? Yeah.
I would say, considering that most people use them as catch-alls and if not homework rooms.
Yep.
You know, where the stuff's spread all over the table. I'm fortunate enough that we actually don't have a formal, dining room in our home because it's such an old home. The way they built these homes, our home is like 100-something years old, so they call it the parlor room.
Hmm.
So I found this out, which is a fact you would appreciate, Bill.
Hmm.
A parlor room apparently was where they did funerals.
I knew that.
They waked the body there.
Yep.
Yeah, so weird. I don't get that.
It would almost serve as an appetite suppressant, wouldn't it, to know that you were eating in the same area where Uncle Charles was just a short time ago? That's not good.
Well, and then it brings up the weird, possibility of some spirits living in that room.
They didn't die in that house. They're just waked there. Also, some people did, I guess.
That's why places say food and spirits. That's what they're talking about.
There you go.
Frank, can you hold on for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
We want to take a quick break. Frank Fontana's here. He's handsome. You already know that, but he can also help you make your house or apartment look fantastic. He's got all the home decor trends of 2016. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we are talking to Frank Fontana. He would be here. He had a family emergency, we'll say, and everything's okay, Frank?
Yeah. Yeah, everything's good. I mean, we're going to have to, it's a little bit heart issue from somebody, but we're figuring it out and let's say prayers and hopefully everything will be okay.
Good luck with all that, Frank.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Sure.
Let's get back to the tomfoolery.
All right.
Interior design trends for 2016. This is from Elle Decor.
Eldecor.com released this out, the 10 home decor trends that will be huge in 2016. And I think we'll debate these a little bit because the next one is number three here, mismatched cabinets.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't do this to somebody because what will happen is it's a novel idea and it starts off okay. And then after a year or so, you're like, what do we do? Why is there zebra black wood with white cabinets here? And, I think where I contradict this is that I'm seeing more of a trend in neutrality in kitchens. I see a more muted palette going on. So you're seeing a ton of white cabinetry in that farm style or simple mission style. Even backsplashes are getting simpler, which I agree with. I think, you're seeing a huge trend in just simple subway tile. That's a nice, cohesive color with the rest of the design. So I'd have to buck this one. I'm saying no to this
one. Now, Frank, let me tell you something my daughter did to her cabinet in her bedroom that isn't quite as extreme. She said, I want to put different knobs on each of the drawers and handles on the dresser. And I thought, oh, that's not going to look very good. I'm wrong. It looks fantastic. It's very interesting
to look
at.
If you're into that kind of thing, that would bug me that they don't match.
That it's all different? Yeah.
Well, no, you're right. She is actually on trend because I have a dresser in my bedroom that is designed just like that. Every drawer is different shaped. Every handle is a different handle, all within kind of an antique-y vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But that is definitely a big furniture trend that you're seeing now. So your daughter's right on par, man.
And mismatched cabinets. I mean, I have seen this and I do like this. I just have ugly, cheap brown ones. So I'm going to try and paint them like a gray and make them look weathered because we have black granite countertops. I thought that would look
cool. Are they actually wood cabinets or are they laminated?
They're wood.
They're wood. Good. Okay.
Yes.
Just make sure you sand, prime, do it, take this time to do it right because I always tell people if you're going to attempt to paint your own cabinets, it's either get it professionally done or make sure you take the time to prep properly and prime properly.
And take them off the hinges.
Take them off the hinges.
It's a lot of work.
I did this in a condo we owned in the Gold Coast, and they had these just cheap wood flat cabinets. And I actually went to ordered online a wood veneer. And if you never work with wood veneer, it's awesome stuff. You can get it like the exact wood tone you want. So if you wanted a zebra wood or a dark walnut, you can order it, stain it, and then you just iron on this stuff. Literally, take your iron and iron on this veneer, and it looks like super expensive exotic wood. And I did my whole kitchen for like $200. We sold the place, and the people were raving about this expensive
Seriously?
Kitchen. And I was laughing.
Remember Color Forms?
Sure, it's like Color Forms.
That's what it's going to end up looking like in my kitchen, where I'm going to put the stainless steel cover on the dishwasher
right.
and the refrigerator, and then the veneer, it's going to be like Color Forms. Yep. We're pressing them on there.
I love it.
But a lot of people would have like a different colored island that I kind of liked.
Yeah.
That's okay. I agree with that. Like, that's a cool way to accent because it's not part of the master cabinetry, let's call it. You know, so I just don't like when the upper cabinets are a certain color, the lower cabinets are a certain color, and then you got an island that might be a third color.
Too busy.
Too busy. Too much going on.
Yep.
Can I ask you guys a personal question?
Please.
Sure. Do either of you have a bidet?
No.
Bidet, sir.
Wait, that's not a drinking fountain? Uh-oh. I feel so stupid now.
There are like a lot of rich relatives of mine that have a bidet,
really?
It's like I refuse to use it.
Who uses a bidet?
But Europeans use it.
European,
everyone
I get
in
it.
Everyone in Europe, I've been to Europe, they have them all over. It's like no big deal, but here in the States, I don't
think
it's
catching up. We have toilet paper here.
Bill, have you tried a bidet?
No, I've not. It's not for me.
Wendy, have you tried a bidet?
I don't know how to use it.
That's my question. I'm looking at a picture
I'm not
of one
kidding.
Right now, and I'm seeing a spout.
Right.
So I would imagine you'd have to position yourself perfectly
right.
for that to actually work. Or do you just like kind of snug up to it? What's the secret to that?
I don't know. I got to be honest with you. There were no instructions on it. I didn't know how to use it. Plus, it wasn't my bidet. I'm not going to use someone else's bidet.
You never know where the bidet has been.
I hire a kid with a super soaker when I'm done.
That's it. The same guy who cuts your lawn, right?
Yeah, yeah, little Tony.
But so these are popular now, again.
I guess so. That's what they're saying. You know, I do like this one, though. Number 7 on this list of 10 from homeldecor.com. Techless living room.
What is that?
I think this is... It's
techless, not tactless.
Oh, techless. All right, so what does that mean?
Basically, just a digital-free living room. And I think it's so needed in today's over-digitized society that we don't even talk to each other anymore. We text each other. We Facebook each other. It's disgusting. I mean, and I live on it because it's part of who I am in my business and celebrity and all that stuff. Because I have to.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I try to limit my son's iPad use and phone use and... especially in the living room, because I think that's a time to get to know the family again. And to,
that's what you have them. A front room for, a front room, as some people say.
No, that's my parlor room. That's where people died. I'm not going to bring my kids there.
A techless parlor room.
He doesn't even use the parlor.
You don't want the dead guy to get a phone call while he's laying there. That's
exactly.
awkward. Well, Frank, some of these seem legit, and others, as you pointed out, don't seem quite as possible or probable in 2016, but thank you. We appreciate
and where
that.
Can we?
You're welcome.
Where can we find all these? Are they up on your website, sir?
Yeah. We'll post them. You can go to eldecor.com, and you'll see it right on the homepage. I'm sure I'll send Kevin, your producer, a link. You guys can post it there. And, you know, people can always shoot me an email, frank@frankfontana.net. Visit my website, frankfontana.net. Or, hey, listen to my WGN radio show every Sunday from 1 to 3.
All right. Talked us into it. Thank you, Frank.
All right. You got it, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
You too. Thank you so much.
Frank Fontana. We will take a quick break, and then we'll talk to Steve and find out what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thanks, Tim. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. It's the second half of our show for today. 312-981-7200 is our phone number and our text line, so feel free to call or text in whenever you like.
I want to thank the fine folks in Rosemont. They dropped off some cupcakes with beautiful roses on them because the village of Rosemont celebrates their 60th anniversary.
They look great for 60, don't
How
they?
How
they
about
look 45.
It?
I don't know what they're doing. They look fantastic.
Rosemont has grown tremendously from its original state as an unincorporated area in 1956 to the entertainment destination it has become today. I think I'm finally going to get to go spend my perfect birthday at the outlet malls over there.
Was it last year you did that? When did
I
you
did
do that,
that for a date night.
Oh, for a date night you did that, right. Yeah.
But I have been promised since Mother's Day of last year that we would go to Fogo de Chão, which is the Brazilian steakhouse there,
right.
And then I get to do some shopping. And I said, really? That's what you and the boys are? What are you guys going to do while I'm shopping? Go see a movie at Movieco with Nick DiGilio?
Probably. Nick does a traveling movie club that he'll specialize to your birthday to fit your needs. He does that, sure.
I would like that.
Well, that sounds like a good birthday. You got a little while to wait, but it's coming soon, so that'll be fun.
I know. I've been waiting to go to Fogo de Chão. There's nothing more that I like than meat.
Yes.
On a stick.
So true. So true. All you can eat, too, by the way.
I know.
Brazilian style. So get a haircut and enjoy your birthday. there was a very strange announcement yesterday. At least I perceived it as strange. I don't know that everybody else did, and I thought we should talk about it just a little bit. Kim mentioned it in the news, and by now I think most people, if you're savvy to the media, you already know this, but Sarah Palin, former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, endorsed Donald Trump for presidency.
Who does that help?
I can't
figure
that out.
Does it help her getting back in the limelight, and is this a time she wants to be in the limelight?
I cannot figure that out. I'm trying to.
Does he need her?
Another one of those questions that just seems like
Ted Cruz was really good friends with her.
He thought,
and, yeah,
he thought that that endorsement was coming his way, and
Slam
he thought wrong.
Central.
He thought wrong. Let's play a little bit of the audio yesterday. This isn't long. This is a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes
of
the announcement.
Talking?
A lot of this will be her.
Oh, goodness, for cry eye.
And we will switch back and forth between the two of them, Donald Trump, and pay attention to the wording on a lot of this, because I find it fascinating. This is Donald Trump introducing Sarah Palin, who then endorses Donald Trump. An interesting handoff combination. Listen to this from yesterday.
This is a person who I've known for a long time, who I've respected for so long, an incredible husband, an incredible family.
Hold on, wait, can we stop for just
somebody.
A second? Just a second. Incredible husband, I guess meaning that she has an incredible husband.
He seems like a pretty great guy, I got to tell you.
Todd.
I didn't remember.
But incredible
his name.
Family could be debated just a little bit, couldn't it?
Some problems going
There's
on.
Been a problem or two most recently, well, yesterday.
You can call them incredible problems, maybe.
They had some problems. One of her sons.
Track.
Her son, Track. Because they name their family after parts of race courses. You know that. They've always done that in the Palin family. He is being brought up on domestic abusive charges. Had a little incident with his girlfriend involving a gun. Ugly incident. So I don't know.
And you know what? And again, you can be the best parent that you can be, and you still have family problems.
Right. A terrific family isn't that accurate.
No. And Bristol has had some issues.
Yeah.
With having children.
Right.
Willy-nilly. With Willie and Nilly.
Those are the kids' names, Willie and Nilly. And the father's names, Willie Jr. and Nilly Jr.
And then there was some drunken brawl that happened last year.
Yes.
That involved Bristol and Track, I believe. Police were called to the scene, and they were drunk and swearing.
Disorderly.
And,
it was
listen,
a mess.
I am not pointing fingers, and I am not saying my family's perfect, because it isn't. And any family who says their family's perfect, they're lying, if you want to know the truth. But if you have these things going on, don't you take yourself out of the limelight?
That has been suggested. And she did take herself out of the limelight.
But she's back in a big way.
Right. Yeah.
And did Track have his issues after this pep rally or whatever it is?
I think the line of order on this was he got in trouble first and then the pep rally yesterday. I'm pretty sure.
I know she's a yeller, and she biffed him in the head and said, "What are you doing to me?"
For cry eye. She's like Mrs. Lubner from Saturday Night Live.
A little bit.
You get that a little bit?
A little bit.
All right, so here's more of yesterday's speech. Again, if you're just tuning in, this is Donald Trump introducing Sarah Palin, who will then endorse, spoiler alert, who will then endorse Donald Trump for president. Listen.
And somebody that when I heard that she was going to endorse me, I was so honored. You have no idea how honored. And I would like to bring up, if I might, Governor Sarah Palin. Special, special person. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be in Iowa. We're here just thawing out.
God.
He is from the private sector, not a politician. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Where in the private sector you actually have to balance budgets in order to prioritize to keep the main thing the main thing. And he knows the main thing. A president is to keep us safe economically and militarily. He knows the main thing, and he knows how to lead the charge. So troops, hang in there, because help's on the way, because he, better than anyone, isn't he known for being able to command fire? Are you ready for a commander-in-chief? You ready for for a commander-in-chief who will let our warriors do their job and go kick ISIS.
Sorry about the salty language, Wendy. I apologize.
Ready for someone who will secure our borders, to secure our jobs, and to secure our homes. Ready to make America great again. Are you ready to stump for Trump? I'm here to support the next president of the United States, Donald Trump.
All right, Kevin, you can stop it there. Now, he does not command fire. That's the Human Torch from the Fantastic Four.
I am the Lord of Hellfire. That's what he should come out and say. What song is that? Fire.
He should come out on an altar, a flamey altar, and just ascend onto the crowd and just throw fireballs at people who heckle him. That would be very impressive. He can't command fire. So, all right.
But he's about the main thing, and he's got the main thing, and we got the main thing.
Right. I will give him that.
And a gun.
And he, right. Right. So getting back to your question of who does this help, does her endorsement really mean anything?
It would to Ted Cruz.
Does it, though?
It would. I mean, she, you know, when I'll admit it, okay? I'll come out and say it. When she first came into the forefront, I kind of liked her.
Like, what was it about her that you thought, oh, this is working?
I liked that she, yeah, you're right.
What was working?
I liked that she was a bit of a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't all frilly, mm-hmm. and I thought she seemed fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to listen to her talk about her ideas, and I realized she's not the woman for me.
Right.
But at first, I kind of liked her. I kind of liked her folksyism and.
Well, but if there is a line of congruency between her and Donald Trump, and I know America is now looking for somebody who is, quote unquote, an outsider, for somebody who's not a right. career politician. She has elements of both. She was a career politician. You know, she was running Alaska. I guess that counts as a career politician. But the people who did like her, I guess, liked what you liked about her, which is, hey, I know somebody who's kind of like that. She seems like a neighbor or something.
She did yeah, seem real down to earth and real.
But then the more you knew about her,
then I was
didn't
like,
you start to recoil a little bit?
Yes, very much so.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
This is the new Donald Trump theme song. It'll be at his new pep rally. Arthur Brown.
All right. So when she first came out, that was what anybody who enjoyed her, I guess that's what they liked about her is she doesn't
Different.
Seem stiff and
no.
like an old white guy that we've seen a thousand times
yeah.
running for public office. She seems like a real person.
Fresh.
Yeah.
It was something fresh as a summer's eve, Bill.
Remember the question, though, about the magazines? Was it Katie Couric who asked the question about which magazines do you read? I think it was Katie Couric. Which magazines do you read? And she couldn't name any magazines. That was kind of a bad day.
She couldn't?
No. And she thought that was what they called at the time a gotcha question. Don't ask questions like that. You're trying to screw with Sarah Palin. She's going to be our next vice president. Don't ask tough questions like which magazines do you read? Which newspapers do you read? You can't ask that. That's not fair.
What a great question.
No.
I'd have to go Rolling Stone. You, of course, would go Highlights.
Yeah, Highlights is great.
Goofus and Gallant.
Love them. Love them. All right. Now, here's the bigger
question. She couldn't
question.
Answer that, really? I don't remember that.
Yeah. Oh, I read all of them. Well, which one's all of them?
Couldn't name any. Couldn't name a single one.
What about House Beautiful, Glamour, Cosmo, Us, People?
Grit. Was it Grit?
Grit is a good magazine. That's a great magazine. There's also a passage. What is the book? We had these authors on who wrote the book about what happened behind the scenes of John McCain's candidacy and the whole story of when they got Sarah Palin on board. And he, by the way, was not too thrilled that Sarah Palin, because that was the party saying to him, here's who your running mate's going to be. That wasn't him saying to them, this person. They said to him, we got to get somebody that fills in the gaps of the people who wouldn't vote for you, and that person's Sarah Palin. So there's a story in that book about how they had these long sessions with her explaining who our friends were and who our enemies were, almost like on flashcards. They'd hold up Russia, and she'd go, oh, friend? No, 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 enemy. How about this one? China? Oh, enemy? No, no, no. How about this one? Oh, you know, so that was very telling, too. She wasn't quite aware of who was good for the country and who was bad for the country.
And I think Patrick is going to put it into full perspective here. Go ahead, Patrick.
I'm a first-time caller. I like you guys.
Thank you.
The whole thing with Sarah, you know, she wasn't vetted, you know, well enough. I don't believe because she ended up really destroying Kane's bid for presidency.
John McCain seemed like he had it going on too. It was, you know, a former military leader. He seemed like a genuinely sweet man. Someone that wouldn't be bad running the country.
It's the only election in my lifetime where either person who won,
you're
if
right.
it was John McCain or Barack Obama, I would have said, that's not bad. It's the only time I remember that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Patrick. What were you going to say?
Well, you know, every time she comes out, I'm thinking, what is she talking about now? You know, and what weight does it hold?
Yeah.
You know, maybe in her state.
Right.
But as far as the nation goes, I mean, and as far as I'm concerned, both her and Trump, they belong together because they're both jokers. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's hard to take them, either one of them seriously.
Understood.
That's a good point, Patrick.
Well,
thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. That's his running mate, by the way. Didn't I predict that with Eric Zorn?
But you were joking. You were kidding, right?
I don't know.
You were kidding. Steve, go ahead.
I don't know.
I was going to say, you better start taking him seriously because he's, you know, doing very well.
Yep.
Huge. And leading in all the polls, except for the ones where he's not. But those aren't the good polls.
Right.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
She said that about him. He brings you fire.
He's the commander of fire. All right. Now, here's the question that all this is leading up to. And we'll take a break, but think about this for a little bit, because I would love to have an answer. Is there anybody out there, an entity, a person, a group, that if they endorse a candidate, that would phase you? Is there anybody out there that if any particular candidate got the endorsement of, you fill in the blank, that would make you say, wow, they've got them on their side? I really should rethink this.
I'm sure it does. I don't know if she has the power to do that. You've brought this up so many times before, and it does seem that, you know, if someone you trust and respect supports a candidate,
yeah,
that you'd maybe see the other side of it and go, well...
Maybe. But I know that newspapers, I know that groups...
That shouldn't matter.
They always... That's been a thing forever, is, you know, the Tribune endorses, or a certain union endorses, or a celebrity endorses... So is there anybody out there that would really make you think twice and go, wow, I wasn't going to vote for that guy or that girl, but Bruce Springsteen says that's the answer. Maybe
that would totally sway me.
So who is it for you? 312-981-7200. Call or text us, and we'll be back in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. We're trying to figure a couple of things out. It was announced yesterday that Sarah Palin, former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, will be endorsing Donald Trump. Wendy's big question is this helping anybody? Does it help Donald Trump? Does it help Sarah Palin? Does it help anybody? My question is there anybody out there that if they did endorse a candidate, you would say, wow, you know what? I wasn't really going to vote for that candidate, but Adam Levine likes him, so I guess he must be pretty good.
Oh, my God, Bill. I'm sure there are people that would vote for somebody that Adam Levine was doing.
Maybe.
Oh, he's so overrated. Hi, Kate.
Hey, you guys.
What's up?
I can't stop listening to you.
Thank you, Kate.
Anyway,
you're
welcome. I think Sarah Palinized the fire idea. Well, if you listen to that line again when she's speaking about how in command he is and in charge, she says fire instead of you're fired.
Oh, is that what that is?
Oh,
I wasn't reading it that way. All right, good.
I'm guessing, because when I heard it, I thought, oh, another one. You know, she didn't say the phrase correctly. So if you listen to the whole statement, it kind of makes sense.
It was a play on his catchphrase from The Apprentice.
Yeah, but instead of saying you're fired, she just said fire.
All right.
That kind of makes sense, and I could see her doing that.
All right, then.
Yep. It's Palinized. Okay, so goodbye, you guys.
Bye. Thanks, Kate. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate.
Better than anyone. Isn't he known for being able to command fire? Are you ready for a...
I think she may be right. It It could have been
her
worded
delivery
better.
Sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
They stomp on our neck and they tell us, just chill, okay? Just relax. Well, look, we are mad and we've been had. They need to get used to it. I'm going to stump for Trump.
That's right. That's what we've got going.
Oh, my good Lord.
You know what else is interesting? If you look at elections the last, I don't know, decade or so, the party tends to not parade people out who didn't win. You don't see a lot of that. If you've got a winner somewhere, they'll bring them out and they'll go, look, remember when this guy won? Now he likes you. So that's a good thing. But Sarah Palin did not win. So it's very surprising to me that anybody in the Republican Party would think it was a good idea to play this up.
Because she got the change going, too, like he is. Right. And I didn't realize she quit her governorship.
She did.
Yeah, and 2 years into the term.
She did.
Okay, well, so we want to quit her?
Well,
not
here's
a belly itcher.
So I almost said that.
It's not, you know, you keep making reference to the party. This is what's going on now. It's kind of extra party, you know, the whole Trump thing. It's not the party bosses and things calling the shots.
Right.
And so I think Palin does have... hold some sway with some people in the Tea Party movement. I mean,
yes.
She's got a pretty good record when she endorses in primaries.
Does she?
Yeah, she does. And I mean, from my vantage point, I was thinking of this earlier because she doesn't have really any accomplishment,
right?
You know, that she can point
to. She's got a great family, according to Trump.
But she does have sway, and.
And that's what they're looking for.
And that's what they're looking for. And so, also, for Trump to get her. In his camp keeps her out of Ted Cruz's camp, which is the other place she might have gone.
So you're adding by subtraction.
In a way, yeah, or you're adding by, you're playing defense, you know, keeping the teammate from the other team.
So what they're now doing is looking at any other potential people that might be on the fence between Cruz and Trump and saying, what can we possibly do to win them over to our side?
Yeah, because Cruz right now is Trump's biggest rival.
Right.
So, and they're all competing for this. For the Tea Party, that we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore, group of the party.
And she best represents that right now.
Yeah, most vocally anyway.
My favorite line, Mr. Trump, you're right. Look back there in the press box. Heads are spinning.
Mm-hmm.
Media heads are spinning. This is going to be so much fun. We got a country to run, people.
I guess.
We going for the fun?
That's
what
we're going
party?
For. This is the fun party. They're putting the party back in party, Wendy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got news and then a lot more show coming your way. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Lepp and it's Wendy Snyder. We're examining what happened yesterday as Sarah Palin endorsed Donald Trump. It really, at some point you say to yourself, this is all real, right? This is all really happening. It just gets stranger and stranger and stranger. And every time it does get stranger, it somehow works out to the advantage of Donald Trump, which nobody can explain. But we have a lot of people on the line to talk about what happened yesterday, and I was trying to figure out whose endorsement would you ever listen to? Is there anybody out there? Is there a person, a celebrity? Is there a group, a newspaper, a magazine that if they endorsed a politician, you would say, yep, I've changed my mind. That's the person for me.
I didn't realize I liked her at first. I fessed up to that, but I didn't realize how much I don't like her now, and I'm upset that she's back in action.
Are you? Yeah.
CJ, what do you think about this?
Oh, Wendy, I'm glad you said that because, you know, is Steve Bertrand still around?
He is still around.
Good, because you're politically savvy, right? Since Bob Surratt is gone, you're the only one during the afternoons who's really interested. Wendy and Bill are great. They're more entertaining, more diverse. You know, they don't get so much into politics. But with you around, aren't you... I mean, I'm a woman. I'm going to vote for Hillary no matter what. So it has nothing to do with me personally. Hillary's experienced, knowledgeable, and she's very brilliant. That's all I need to know. I don't care if she's a woman or an elf. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, you can be both.
As long as there's somebody there. Aren't you frightened? I mean, this whole Donald Trump phenomenon and then this woman with that screeching voice that came and endorsed him for whatever reason. She isn't smart enough to endorse anybody, but she did. And you're saying it makes a difference. Aren't you guys frightened? You, Bill, Wendy, I know you're not so into politics, and I know Steve is, you know, more in it.
Yeah, he's aren't smarter than us. Frightened? Go ahead and say that, CJ.
She meant more boring.
No. I said more into it.
No, I know. I'm kidding.
He's the news person, right? And you guys are the entertainment, and you're great.
Oh, we hope.
And you do a great show, and you do a great job, but you're not as into it as Steve is. Doesn't this all frighten you?
Are you scared, Steve?
Viable candidates being Tea Party people who are already outrageous and...
Well, clearly, I mean, it angers you. I mean, but that's
why...
Well,
I'm a woman. Why would any woman ever have any reason to vote Republican to begin with, and certainly not Tea Party?
There are a lot of women who vote Republican. Yeah. I'm not frightened by it. It's...
Well, what if they're elected? And what if he says, oh, gee, I really owe Sarah Palin. I better get her to be the vice president. What kind of a position does that put us in?
Start getting used to it, because that might happen.
The people who we elect say more about us than about them. So if there's a candidate, and you can pick whichever candidate you want, who you think is, you know, a nut job or a genius or brilliant or dangerous, and they manage to get the most votes, that's saying something about the people who voted for them. And the country's set up for people to vote for candidates. So if they win, you know, my choice isn't always the winner, but that's just kind of the way it works. So.
That was very bright. You really did a great job with that, Steve. And
avoiding the answer?
We still have to live here, don't we?
No, yeah, you don't. I mean, you know, Alec Baldwin, I think, moved to Toronto briefly.
No, he stayed. He said he was going to, but he stayed.
I mean, he lied to us?
Yeah. But, CJ, you know, I have to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of Hillary Clinton's voice either. When you said, you know, her screechy voice for Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just saying, I just chose somebody that I thought was the most capable of doing the job because she's experienced and she's brilliant. So I don't care because she's a woman, very lovely. I'd love to have a woman that's charming. I don't care about that. I care about somebody's got to run this country, and it can't be those people like Donald Trump who got rich off of declaring bankruptcy and leaving other people holding the bag. I mean, this is what he knows about running our country?
He knows about running a business, but is the country a business? Technically, yes,
no,
but there are some nuances that I don't think he's aware of.
We're a lot more than about the economy. The economy is one very important, most important phase. It's terrific, but he doesn't know about that. He may know about how to get other people's money to build a building. And his building is beautiful, if it didn't have that stupid sign on it.
Right. That's another thing.
Aren't you frightened that this person could actually, if there are enough people who would vote for him?
There is enough people.
It may happen.
He's leading the party.
Thank you, CJ.
CJ, thanks. Did you see part of Sarah Palin's speech yesterday was about President Barack Obama flying over Chicago and seeing the name Trump on the building and stuff like that? He just went, what are you talking about? Barack Obama's not flying low over the city of Chicago and then seeing the name Trump on a building and holding his head in his hands and going,
look at that name.
No.
It's starting to pee me off.
That's not happening.
Thank you, CJ.
And all the people are applauding. Yeah, he's got to fly over the building with Trump's name. No, that's not how it works. It doesn't happen that way.
All right, Frank.
You can see the tower from his house.
Hey, Frank.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good one,
frustrated.
Steve. Yeah.
You know, I'm frustrated, too, but I want to start off by commenting on that last caller. You know what I'm frightened about, Hillary?
What?
Hillary, she has experience. She has experience in scandals. She has experience in lying. I don't want a president like that. You know, after Ronald Reagan left office, every president that said in the candidacy, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, nobody has done anything. Now, Bill Clinton, well, he was another scandal. Then you got the two Bushes, and now you have Obama. I want a president who's going to be aggressive, who is going to take charge. Sure, Donald Trump may not have the experience to run the country, but like Wendy said, he does have experience running companies. You know, everybody else didn't have experience when they came into the office. Sure, Obama was a senator, but he didn't know nothing about running a country.
There's a huge difference.
Yeah,
there's a huge, huge, huge difference between being the president and being anything else. And that includes senator or vice president or mayor, you name it. Being the president, there's nothing that comes close to that. You don't have anybody who has the experience unless you're an incumbent and you've already been the president. It's impossible.
And I understand that, Bill. But here's the thing. I need somebody who's going to look out for number one, America.
Right.
I think number one is himself.
With Trump, you mean?
Yeah.
I got to disagree because, you know, Obama, he's been in office now for 8 years. And what actually has he done for our veterans?
For our veterans?
No,
for the veterans. I mean, that's my number one concern. Oh. Hey, I'm 44. My dad served in World War One. My grandfather served. And neither one of them are homeless or, starving. But there's many million more that need our help that nobody's helped.
What do you think he could have done differently that would have been in your favor? What should he have done that he didn't do?
Probably start off by just building some kind of, maybe temporary housing or something to get them out of the cold, get them situated, and let them focus on what they, their next step.
And homeless veterans, big problem. And, thank you so much to your father and grandfather for their service. I don't know that Barack Obama is the one man to do it. Isn't this like ideas that are pitched? And it's not That's all up not a, to him.
Yeah, sadly, right, it's right, not right. the president's job, I don't think, okay. is it?
No, but here's the thing. Now, if Barack Obama can take his own action against this executive decision on this gun law making, why can't he make an executive decision about something for the veterans? You know what I'm saying? He
Do we know that he hasn't?
Excuse me?
Do we know that he hasn't?
Well, if he has, it's not being said anywhere. I mean, I watch the news every day. I listen to you guys every day. I love this show. You guys like nail it right on the head. But I just want a president who's going to take charge, who's not going to put up with anybody's crap.
And what is Trump going to do for the veterans? That's what I'm concerned about, too. Is he the guy to help?
I honestly think he is. And as far as Sarah Palin goes, I liked her when she was governor of Alaska. I really hope that maybe she's his running mate.
Frank, she quit, though. She was a governor.
She's a quitter.
She just quit.
She quit. It got hard. The going gets tough. I get going. I got to shop and get my hair done.
Right. Okay.
I need a mani-pedi.
Let's just look at some of these candidates. You got some of them who are up there saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But they don't sound like they're aggressive. Then you got Hillary, who's caught in this email scandals and the lies and whatever. And then you got Christie, who was caught with his little scandal and everything else. But yet, the only one person that you see standing up on that stage who has not been caught in a scandal, really, is Trump.
Might be a true thing you've said, Frank. I don't know what signifies a scandal, but thank you very much for your thoughts. And that's just it. We all have different opinions. I get it. A lot of people like that Trump is the guy who's saying, we're not going to take crap from the other countries. But there is a way that you need to finesse the situation. You can't just be a hard ass and go, here's what we're doing. We're going to bomb everybody.
He's used to sitting in a boardroom with people who have to answer to him. And
right.
when things don't go his way, he's Donald Trump. He runs the company, so people have to give in to him. The world doesn't work like that, though. It just doesn't. The world has missiles that are a button away that if you're angry, then they'll press that button.
Well, I was driving in today, and he was at an event in Iowa, and I was just listening to it live. I could listen to him talk all day.
Me yeah. too.
If you listen to him and try to follow his stream of consciousness, because... He will think and then he'll go off in a direction and then he'll come back.
Right.
And then he'll go. It's just
right.
He's an interesting.
So entertaining. He really is.
He's an interesting, entertaining, and intelligent guy. He really is. But as president of the United States,
it's a different story.
I don't know.
Isn't it?
The voting will prove it.
A quick break. Back to your calls and your texts. We're talking politics with you at 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, we are back talking about what could be an interesting... I say Palin is going to be Trump's running mate. What do you think?
Boy, the last couple... normally I would say there's not a chance in the world, but they've been extremely chummy the last couple days.
No way, no
it's
way.
It's impossible, no isn't it?
Never going to happen.
It couldn't happen.
Well, a couple things. I mean, look at her record running before the national
She's perceived
ticket.
As a loser.
Well, not only that, she was perceived
but
as someone...
But a winner to some.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's very disciplined, and I think Trump's not going to want someone who's
going
to go off
his
reservation.
Her,
right.
That's true.
How about Donnie Deutsch?
That's why I'm throwing my head in the ring right now to be his
are you?
Mate.
I'd vote for you. Charlie, what do you think about all this?
Hello, Wendy. How are you?
Good, sir.
Well, I mean, I think he just found the right person that fits his personality. I mean, with both of them, when they talk, really they talk about nothing, and they're both self-centered. And for her, even when she ran as a vice president, it was all about the money for her. That's why she quit her job. And it was her time in the spotlight to make the money off the books she wrote. Now, as you said, with Donald Trump, he's just playing off people's fear. He's telling people what they want to hear. But does he have the solutions or the answers to them? He absolutely doesn't.
And sure doesn't seem like it.
Right. And when you look at him, even when you look at his business life, the only thing that he's got going was what his father built for him. But everything that he did on his own, he failed. The Trump airline, the Trump casino with Atlantic City, the sports league that he ran, all three of them, he failed at them. And the only thing that he had going was what his father for him.
But in a lot of those cases, he was at some point he was selling his name to things like the casino. He wasn't running. He sold his name to an investment group. They ran the casino. They ran it into the ground. And how do you run a casino into the ground? You're printing money when you run a casino. I mean, really, that's just your license to own money, having a casino. I don't know how it went belly up, but it did. But he wasn't really involved with it at that point. His name was on it. He sold the name.
You're absolutely right. But, I mean, he started it, and then he handed it over to other people, and still he stayed on their board of directors.
And with your name on something, don't you want it
to
do well?
You want it to succeed, sure, of course.
Exactly. So
that's why I'm happy Snyder's Pretzels are doing well.
Yep.
Not so happy about the governor of Flint, Michigan.
No, you shouldn't be. But, Charlie, all valid points.
Thank you so much, Charlie. We appreciate it. And we have time for one more. You know what? It was questioned, how does Barack Obama help veterans? And we may have an answer if you can do it in 30 seconds, Randy.
Okay, I'm a veteran. I live in Dixon, Illinois, and I go to the university. I go out to Iowa City to the VA hospital, and that hospital covers a 200-mile circle. That hospital is being updated so fast that they can't keep up with it. So somebody, I don't know if it's Obama or Congress or both, but the veterans are being taken care of. And I got news for you guys. The veterans are going to make a difference in a vote this year for president.
And who are the veterans looking at?
Well, they're looking at people that will help them. So anybody that's helping them.
And what candidate would that maybe be? I mean, I'm just kind of
Is there
I'm
one candidate,
you.
Do you know, Randy? Is there one candidate that seems to have this as a special interest and really wants to help more than the others?
I hate to say it, but I'm a registered Democrat, but I think Trump's the one that's going to get the deals done.
What is he going to do for you? And I'm not being negative. I'm just asking what you think Donald Trump would do for the vets, because I haven't heard him bring up much.
Well, I don't think he talks about what he's going to do. He's a great negotiator, and he's letting them other countries know that he's not going to back down.
The other countries, and Steve, you'll back me up on this, I hope, didn't Parliament a day or two ago just try to have a ban on Donald Trump? Didn't the British Parliament just go, we don't even want him in our country?
Well, they've got a thing there where if they get, I think it's 500,000 people to sign a signature, Parliament has to debate it.
Yeah.
So they were kind of forced into a debate. They didn't vote on whether to ban him, though.
But
Martha Stewart can't go in the country.
Right, that's true.
I don't think that's going to make a difference in our politics.
Well, Randy, first and foremost, thank you for your service. We appreciate it, and I'm glad you're getting taken care of.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Randy.
Thank you.
Take care.
Trump, really? Is he a veterans presidential candidate? If he is, I want some schooling on that, because I don't hear anything being talked about.
I think he's very good at giving answers, but I don't know that there's solutions.
Hey, yeah. I ran for class president when I was freshman and senior in high school.
Right.
And I said I would, you know, make candy bars available for free in the lunch. You say what you want to get voted in.
You guys had some great issues at your school. That was a lot to debate, I bet.
Better gym suits, too.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news for you, and then we have more topics to cover. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I got bugs in my room. Bugs in my bed.
Bed bugs.
Bugs in my ears.
Ugh, I hate bugs.
They're eggs
Well, you're not going to like this at all then. I got a study. I got some results that I'm going to read to you. And you are
this?
Not going to be. Yes, this is a private study that I did just on my own, just to see if you had a lot of different bugs in your house.
Because you won't eat soup that I make?
That's one of the reasons I did the study, yes. Guess how many different kinds of bugs you have in your house right now? Guess how many different kinds of bugs are living in your house?
I would go like a mosquito, a fly.
Yeah.
I know it's not the season for them. A gnat.
Yeah.
I would say six.
About six, maybe seven, could be eight, right?
Spiders, yeah.
Spiders, let's say nine.
I mean, you can't always keep bugs out.
Let's round it off and say 10. You have maybe 10 different kinds of bugs living in your house. Right now, it says here, right now, your home may be teeming with more than 500 different kinds of insects.
Excuse me?
Including 500 different kinds. This includes spiders, mites, centipedes, and other creepy crawlies.
Oh, I didn't even count them.
Yeah, the creepy crawlies. That gets it up over 500.
That's an actual name of a bug?
The creepy crawly. This, according to a study that was published on Tuesday in the journal PeerJ. Do you ever read that journal, PeerJ? In the study, researchers discovered a high diversity of small invertebrate animals called arthropods in several Raleigh, North Carolina households. They say it's extremely likely that similar results would be found in houses all across the country. Before I even read these results, I said there's probably going to be 100 to 200 different kind of bugs in my house. Because sometimes you'll see a bug in your house and you go, how did that, what is that? What planet did that come from? And how did it get to my house?
You must be unclean if you have bugs at your house.
We couldn't be more clean. That's what...
I know, that is
it's
true.
It's the weirdest thing. Not in the apartment that... Well, we live in a house now, but before our house, we lived in an apartment. And in the bathroom, in the spring, we would get these things that looked like they were a product of, like, an H.G. Wells short story. They were like little... I've been told they're called silverfish, but I'm not sure why.
You've seen these. And they move really quickly.
And when
and they're
you crush
silver-ish.
Them, they disappear.
It's like dust.
They just vanish into
dust
like a mist.
Yeah, those are silverfish. They like moisture, hence the bathroom.
How do they get in my apartment house now? We don't have them in our house. When we moved,
I
we
bet
said
you
to the
have
silverfish,
them in your house. See,
no, we said to them, you're not coming along. You're staying here. We will not welcome you in our new home.
I know you don't have dog hair because you don't have a dog, but you know what really disgusts me when I think about it? You have rabbit hair at your house.
Probably. This rabbit, my daughter's rabbit doesn't seem to shed. Like most rabbits,
right,
that's a problem.
It's the left rabbit.
Right, it's very well behaved.
And the left silverfish are no longer.
We have a sit down with these animals and we say, if you want to play, you play by our rules.
You know, the thousand leggers too, it's disgusting because when you, first of all, I usually spot these when I'm walking down in the basement and then they're usually eye level because you're walking down the stairs and then all of a sudden you're like, ah!
It dashes out like at a speed you can't believe it could achieve, right? You go, how could you go
that
fast?
And then you kill it and its legs keep moving. That's what bothers me.
Yeah. Let me tell you what we had in our garage. We've had this several times. And again, this is something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. I don't know where these things come from. They're like spiders, but they're completely on the outside. Like they're, how do I explain this?
Do they have a tank? A suit of armor?
No, they do not have a suit of armor. They're like, it's like a reverse spider. Like it moves like a spider, but everything that should be on the inside is on the outside. It's like a skeletal spider. And they live in our garage. The first time I saw one, I thought I was imagining it. I'm like, they don't make bugs like that. What?
I oddly know what you mean, but with the skeletal spider thing.
Do you know what I mean by that?
It looks like a crab meets a spider.
Yeah,
but
that's it.
Spider size.
And they jump really high.
Aren't they tiny, though?
Yeah, they're small. Like, did you ever have an animal or a bug or something in your house? And you go, if that were 10 times its normal size, the world would end. Because if I saw those somewhere, I would just hide in a closet. I'd never come out ever.
I never thought that way.
They're
you are really all or nothing, aren't you?
I was in the garage once with Kylie, and all of a sudden this thing comes. I see it out of the corner of my eye, and then it jumps really high up, like 2 feet up off the ground. And then I found him in our garage, which has been transformed into a family room. There's a closet in the back.
A skeletal spider.
That's it. You found it.
If you Google skeletal spider.
That's exactly what it is.
I know. So let's see what it is.
It's from another planet.
It is.
It's from another dimension.
It's pretty gross.
It's only on the planet to frighten people like me because they should not be in existence. What good could... Like, I get the food chain and I understand that the way that things are is everything feeds something and it feeds off. But what could that be? Why would something like that even exist? It's just awful. I've found over the years, I've found like about a dozen of them in our formerly garage, now family room. And every time I see one, it just scares the hell out of me. Every single time. There's never been a time I've seen it that I've gone, okay, it's just another one of those spider skeletons. Every time I'm like, oh my God, I'm on another planet.
I can't find out what it is exactly, but honestly,
there's no word for it.
If you,
they don't even, it's too scary to have a word.
Skeletal spider, which is a great name.
It's part cricket, it's part spider,
no.
It's part skeleton.
No, because a cricket is an insect.
But how could it
a
jump
a spider has
that
eight
high?
Legs. That's an arachnid.
But
there are
spiders
different
don't jump.
Genus.
Like this thing, like it sits there and goes, hey, don't worry about me, I can't jump. And then once you believe it, it jumps at you, leaps at you with huge gnashing
it's
teeth.
It's tiny.
It's deceptively tiny.
It's like the size of a pencil eraser, smaller.
No, these are... it's like, I would say an inch by an inch.
Okay, first of all, an inch is like this. You're holding your finger like 4 inches
big. I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt. I'll bring one in.
No.
I'll find one and I'll bring it in. It'll scare you.
Put it in a jar.
Mm-mm. I'm just putting it under your desk.
The same desk.
In your ear.
Right. When you're not looking, I'll put it in your ear. It'll crawl in your head and you'll have them in your head. The researchers are already spreading their massive bug hunt to other cities around the world, such as San Francisco and large towns in Peru and Sweden. I don't know why they chose Peru and Sweden. they just spun a globe. Did you ever do the thing where you spin a globe and go, I'm going to vacation here? That's
I think
how
they're
they
sister countries.
Dr. Michelle Trutwein, an entomologist at the California Academy of Sciences and co-author of the study, told all this to the Huffington Post. Here's what she said. There will certainly be variation in houses in different geographic areas, but you can be sure that they all have arthropods. Even as entomologists, we are surprised to find so much diversity indoors. 500 different kinds of bugs right there in your own home. We were also surprised by how few pest species we encountered. Most of the bugs in our houses are quiet and harmless roommates. I just don't want them. I know that they're not going to hurt me. I know that they're an inch.
Spiders are freaky. I'm sorry.
They really are.
And I'm okay with them living in harmony with me because they eat mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And they eat other bugs and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just that all of a sudden they appear. That's what
right.
freaks me out.
Out of nowhere. Right. All right.
They have 8 eyes, too.
Spiders do?
Yeah.
No, 8 legs.
And they're, 8 eyes.
8 eyes?
They don't have 8 eyes. They have 2 eyes.
Okay. Spiders have 2 body segments. The front is called the cephalothorax.
I know.
The spider's eyes, mouth, fang, stomach, brain, and the glands that make the poison are on this part of the body.
Didn't Cabo Cephalothorax play for the Bulls briefly?
She does the news on Rose Show. I know that for a fact.
The legs are connected to this part as well. Most spiders have 8 eyes, but some have less.
They don't.
You guys
not.
Doubt every
they don't have
flipping thing I
does
said.
Does it say some have less?
They all have less.
It says...
Should be fewer.
They don't have 8 eyes.
Most spiders have 8 eyes, but some have less or fewer, as Steve pointed out. This is written for kids.
I
kids
can
zone.
See...
Oh, good.
Can,
so the incorrect is for the children.
You can see spiders' eyes. I've never seen a spider with 8 eyes. You have?
I don't get that close.
Really?
But you can... Like, their eyes are fairly well-defined.
Really? Because that one
spiders.
Has more than one eye. The one set
all right,
eye.
You're showing me, Wendy's showing me a picture of a spider that does have
the
eyes.
One-eyed spider is very rare.
Right. They sell Hathaway shirts. That's a joke just for shirt fans. All right, let's take a quick break.
Why do you doubt everything I say?
Because I've seen 1,000 spiders in my life, and they always have just one on each, just one here and one there, like a standard.
Well, you're wrong.
I've never seen an eight-eyed spider. That internet's incorrect. It needs to be repealed. All right, jump in. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Give us a text. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling weeknights on WGN-TV News at 10.
In a study that was conducted in Raleigh, North Carolina, and San Francisco, and towns in Peru and Sweden, don't ask because we can't figure out why they chose those towns, but they did. They determined that there are over 500 different kinds of bugs. This includes insects, spiders, mites, centipedes, and what they call creepy crawlies. They're in your house. There's nothing you can do. They all coexist.
Oh, my God.
Each of them frightening. Each and every one of them frightening.
We were talking about spiders. And, Randy, Bill's talk. It kind of looks like a little mini crab, and then it hops.
It jumps, like 2 feet in the air.
Yeah, and but the scary thing is, you know, apparently from what I hear, they're the size of a dinner plate.
I've never seen them that big. Mine are like an inch and a half. I don't want them that big.
Well, I don't think you get to choose, but that's not going to happen here in Evanston.
No.
Well, no, but you know, they were talking. Well, the reason I heard about it originally was from Johnny and Buzz back when they had their show on 87.7 or whatever. But they were worried about the Summer Olympics. And so they got all these people going down there, and they got these crazy spiders jumping around.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Doesn't sound like a good time to me.
It is not a good time. All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Randy. Say hi to Buzz and Johnny. There's a picture of a wolf spider that honestly looks like Teen Wolf. It has,
it's
like...
got a lot of hair on it.
I mean, I didn't know there were so many spiders, I didn't know that spiders had 8 eyes, even though you all doubt me, and they doubt me.
You know, I feel sorry for you, because Mary Ann used to have the same problem with Bob. He would never believe anything she said, and 90% of the time he had male guys on as guests,
yeah,
and they would all stick together like glue, you know, kind of like Bill and Steve there. You're out there in the boat all by yourself trying to hold the boat in the water, and they're there with the oars pushing you away.
They're poking holes in my boat.
Well, but the difference, you said it. I mean, Marianne was right 90% of the time.
That's the difference.
Yeah, but 90% of the time, Bob would not acknowledge that because he had male guests on it, being the typical
The Banos male. Brothers. He, they would pull together.
Yeah, Jimmy and Jimmy.
Exactly.
George.
Yep. Yep. All
right. Well, thank you, Anne. I really appreciate it. It's not that similar, though, because they're a married couple.
They were married?
I didn't know that. Spoiler alert.
I did not know that.
But that's when you totally don't believe your significant other. I mean, you just don't believe me because you guys think I'm Sarah Palin's sister.
I thought you were trying to scare us with your all spiders have 8 eyes. I've seen so many spiders in my life, always the two-eyed variety. What do they need that many eyes for?
Better to look at you.
Yeah, I guess.
And they are looking at you.
How do you get prescription sunglasses if you have that many eyes? That's impossible.
Someone's saying, is it a house cricket spider? And they sent
see.
A picture.
Yes. It really is. The picture that you're looking at, the house cricket spider, because I said it's like a hybrid of a cricket and a spider. I don't know what they do when I'm not looking. Whatever they want to do, do it. I just don't want to see it. But that's the result.
I had one of those in my hands last night, Bill.
How did that happen?
Sharon tried to kill one with a magazine, and it was still on the magazine, and I just
flicked it off.
So you have those in your house right now, too?
Not in our house, but
it's not spider season, guys.
I don't have them now. I get them, like, in the spring and in the fall. Not a lot of them, but just one. Every time
your
I see one.
Your house is dirty. I would never eat something you made at your house. That's it has
not
rabbit
that's
hair
not true.
And spider cricket dung.
We have the cleanest house in the galaxy. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show coming. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Our number, this is both our text number and our phone number, 312-981-7200. We want to revisit a story that we talked about a little bit last week, but there's been a new chapter or two since then. The Academy Awards announced their nominees a little over a week ago. And
we've talked about it almost every day.
It's come up a few times.
There's something every day. Do you know who this Tyrese Gibson is?
I do not.
Tyrese Gibson, is he a musician? Kevin, are you hip to that?
I know a Tyrese. I don't know if it's the same guy.
Just who goes by Tyrese?
I think there is a performer who just calls himself Tyrese. Yeah. I think there is.
Well, there was Tyrese on The Walking Dead, the character.
That's a different guy, though.
Confirms Tyrese Gibson is the guy that goes by Tyrese.
Just Tyrese.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right. You are hip and happening. Well, he is the one urging Chris Rock to step down as this year's Oscars host.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, this has been an issue since really Dean Richards started it all.
He didn't, you know... he got a lot of people mad at him for...
Which he just, shouldn't have.
It's ridiculous because he was just stating the obvious, and it became a huge story, but he was one of the first to say, hey, look, all these nominees came out, and we don't have anybody of any color. It's all white people again, like it was last year.
And so, he said, I don't want to make a thing out of it. I just want to say that that's what I've noticed.
Right.
And it's honestly, that is the first I heard of all of it.
Right. Was the day that they announced the nominees.
But from Dean first. And well, then the Pinkett's, well, Jada Pinkett Smith, Spike Lee, and his wife, all these people said, you know, we're not taking any part of it. Spike Lee and his wife wrote a letter on Martin Luther King Day saying, you know, we think this is an appropriate day, as he wrote to the Academy president, who is a black woman.
She is, yeah.
And said, we're, you know, thank you very much for the invitation, but we are not going to go. Jada Pinkett says, no, not going to go. We're boycotting it. And now Tyrese is saying Chris Rock should step down as the Oscar host.
Well, that's what I wanted to bring up. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky, because Chris Rock has a job to do. He agreed to do something. Although, I guess you could make the argument that if it goes against his beliefs, and
does it?
I mentioned this the other day. I don't know. Although he tweeted something about, you know, watch me host the Oscars. It's the white BET Awards. And that met with some mixed emotion. There were some people who thought it was very funny. I kind of thought it was pretty funny.
It does seem funny.
But there's a lot of people that did not take
it
as being
anymore,
very funny.
Can't laugh anymore, Bill.
No, laugh. No, it's been outlawed. We were not allowed to laugh anymore.
We're the sad clown, all of us.
So it's all we can do. So should he, is it his place at this point to make a statement and step down? Because I think he could make a better statement by staying exactly where he is and doing a brilliant monologue about it and maybe waking some people up. Although the end result is this. I don't know how you fix this. There's no easy fix. If you had a category, if you put out a category, which was best actor or actress, and then in brackets put of color or minority or something like that, that's way worse, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I think it is.
I mean, you saw Concussion with Will Smith.
He was really good in it.
But I don't know who he's up against in the cat, or who he would be up against in the category for best actor. Leonardo DiCaprio, for sure.
He's one of them. I'm trying to think of who else. Bryan Cranston, who is in Trumbo. I'll find you the list.
I'm sorry. Those two that you mentioned are way better actors than Will Smith, in my opinion.
There were no weak links. There wasn't a single actor that I saw in the category that I went, what a slouch. That guy doesn't deserve to be in there. So I guess when you're one of the voting members. And I've had this with, I don't get to vote. I mentioned this the other day. I don't get to vote for the Academy Awards, but I do get to vote for the Screen Actors Guild. Do you
yes.
do too, right? All right. So when I'm looking at that ballot, I never say to myself, I really owe it to everybody to pick.
I'm going
to
pick
a couple
a woman.
Of white guys or a woman. I don't, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to do, I guess, which is to say, who did I think did the best acting job, I guess.
So and we were talking about this on break, if something changed, first of all, there are not the roles for people of color that there are for white people
there
in
aren't.
Any movies.
There
that
aren't.
Is, can we all agree on that?
There just aren't.
And Will Smith, although he may be a great actor, Men in Black, I enjoyed it, really good.
Independence Day.
He was good in that, but now should he be in the category against Leo DiCaprio and
Bryan Cranston? He fits in. I mean, really, he did a really good job in Concussion, but there would never be a time. It'd be weird to look at a ballot and go, I got to pick five guys. It's between him and one other guy. I need to pick a minority. It's only fair.
That's not fair. That's terrible. And then we talked about this next year. If there is a person of color that's nominated,
right.
Are they picked because they're good, or are they picked because somebody felt bad?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking is, even though it's a problem this year, it was a problem last year, it's a bigger problem this year. Next year, it really becomes a thing, because now it's there's such an awareness that I bet it does weigh on some people as they're choosing their options for who they're going to pick. Now, on the flip side of that, if I was in the business, or if I was even a fan of film, and I was if I was black, I would say to myself, wow, this it seems to abandon me somehow. There's nobody in the industry that even recognizes me. I would feel bad, but it's not an easy fix. It's an impossible fix.
Then make a movie and put all your black friends in it if you're black.
Well, Yeah.
I mean, you've said it yourself. There weren't a lot of women directors for a long time. There still aren't.
It's the craziest thing in the world, and it's an injustice. But so is this. I mean, there isn't equality the way it should be in the motion picture business or in almost any business. There just isn't. It's just that the motion picture business is one of those businesses that keeps congratulating itself with award shows. But I think if you look at almost any business, I mean, they don't do the CPA of the Year awards, you know.
I know. I don't even watch the awards that much anymore. I really don't. It's just, it's a big, you know, I can't say the word on the air. But, I mean, everybody's just touting their own business. I do like to see what people are wearing. But really, I can't relate to it at all. I
know. Well, none of us can. This isn't Hollywood. But the value for us is you've seen a couple of the films. You wouldn't mind seeing some of them win an award or something. Maybe you like one of the actresses or actors. You want to see what they're wearing. That's what the thing is for us. But it really has become a political hotbed, and for good reason. It's out of whack, but it's not easy. It's not an easy fix.
And you'd think with all the stupid ideas they have in Hollywood, where they remake Herbie and the Love Bug 18 times, that perhaps there would be room for movies written and directed by women and blacks and Hispanics.
No question.
You know?
Well, there are.
Let's do 21 Jump Street 15 more times. Really?
I know. All right, your thoughts on this. Is this a fixable thing? Do they need to make some sort of an allotment, a change? I don't know how you fix this. I really don't. I look at this as not being equal, but I don't know what you do to make it right.
And should Chris Rock back down? He was asked to do this. I say no.
I don't think he should either.
John Singleton, who did, was it Boys in the Hood?
Yeah. He was the first black person to be nominated for a directing job ever.
Really?
And there's only been a couple. I mean, they're very few and far between, sadly.
Well, he put a message out on Instagram. We'll share that with you, when we come back.
Your thoughts, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, the Academy Awards. Does it happen this weekend, I hope?
No, it's the end of February.
Oh, my God.
It's still 5 weeks away.
So we've been talking about it. Everyone has, because there is a lack of nominees who are people of color.
Yeah, there's no diversity at all. I'm going through the categories now quickly because we mentioned this. So I'll just run down your five actors this year are Bryan Cranston, Matt Damon, Leonardo DiCaprio, Michael Fassbender, and Eddie Redmayne. Each of them outstanding. Even supporting actors, Christian Bale, Tom Hardy, Mark Ruffalo, Mark Rylance, who was in Bridge of Spies, and I think that was the best acting job I saw all year. And Sylvester Stallone. And I could read you the women's names are just as strong. Cate Blanchett, Brie Larson, Jennifer Lawrence, Charlotte Rampling, Saoirse Ronan, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Rooney Mara, Rachel McAdams, Alicia Vikander, and Kate Winslet. Those are some of our finest actors and actresses. Yes, you could certainly put in one of the African-American actors or actresses in there, or
if
two or three or four.
If they did a good enough job.
They did. But it's
as
not,
good as these are top of the heap actors.
They all, I know. It's I mean,
would you say 90% of the films feature white people in the cast?
If you look at the film industry on any given week and you say, what are the 10 movies that are playing in theaters? And you looked at who the lead actors and actresses are and the content of those films, it is a primarily white world when it comes to movies. It just is. It's how it's been. I mean, you get movies that are more headed towards a black audience, you know, the Tyler Perry movies, the movie that's out right now with Ice-T or Ice Cube. Is it Ice-T or Ice Cube? I can't remember who stars in this movie. I've never seen the first one, so I don't know who's in the second one. I don't know
what movie you're talking about.
He's a cop and his brother-in-law rides around with him. That's all I know about it.
Ride Along. It's Ice Cube.
Is it Ice Cube who's in that?
I think so.
Yeah. All right.
It's Straight Outta Compton. I did not see that. I want to see that because I want to see it because I'm a music fan.
Yeah.
And I want to see where that started. You didn't see it. So was there anybody that should have been up for an award for that?
I didn't see it, but I know that that's one of the movies that people keep arguing. What about Straight Outta Compton? Why isn't that nominated for anything? I didn't see it, so I can't say.
All right, well, we have some calls that we'll take, and then I would like to read...
Hey, Wendy, how you doing, Bill, you guys?
Great.
Bill, you know, see, that's a classic example, what you just said there. not recognizing that Ice Cube is in that movie Ride Along. But nevertheless,
wait.
I haven't seen it.
I didn't see it.
I don't know who's in it. I just know somebody with the word ice in their name is in it.
I understand, Bill. I understand. But let's go back and look at the history of Oscar for a little bit. I mean, when Denzel Washington got beat out in Hurricane by an American Dream girl. I think it was American Dream or something though, like American Beauty. There you go, American Beauty.
Yeah,
Kevin Spacey and Denzel.
Now you take Robert De Niro and Bull.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
Raging
something. You you know, Raging Bull. Thank you, Wendy. Take Eddie Murphy. Take Eddie Murphy and Dreamgirls. He gets beat off of Best Supporting Actor by Alan Alkin of all people. Come on, you know a good performer, a good actor, but nevertheless, take Samuel L. Jackson's role in Jungle Fever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that, but you know something, a guy like Tom Hanks to go out and research and play a junkie and get Best Actor. I mean,
it's a matter of opinion, and it's really tough to... Tom, we thank you so much for your call. You're kind of all over the board there, but I think I get your point. It's tough to decide who does a better acting role. Is it who is less like themselves? Because you said Will Smith. You several times forgot it was Will Smith.
I forgot.
That's good acting, in my opinion.
30 seconds into the movie that it was Will Smith. He was really, really good in Concussion. Now, the year that Alan Arkin won... I guess he upset Eddie Murphy, who was up for Dreamgirls. Alan Arkin, I think that year, was up for Little Miss Sunshine. I'm almost positive. He was great in that. And in that case, every once in a while with these award shows, they give it to you not so much for the one role you just played, but Alan Arkin has been in movies for almost 50 years.
They do give your history. They take that into account.
Always.
It sure seems that way.
Yeah.
John Singleton, who you said made history... being one of the first black...
He was the first to be nominated for an Academy Award as a director.
For Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
John Singleton put something on his Instagram account, and I don't pay attention to my Instagram as much as I should, but thankfully Kevin Richter, our producer, does. And here's what John Singleton put. Let me make one thing clear. When I speak on a subject, my views are my own. I don't comment on any topic for attention or to be accepted. This morning, and this was a few days ago, again, according to John Singleton, this morning an article appeared in Variety about the controversy of this year's Oscars and no black nominees. The uproar is valid, says John Singleton on his Instagram account.
Yeah.
But I took another view and spoke about how there are so many slots to be nominated and many choices for talent to be honored. Every year there are movies that don't get an Oscar nomination, and every year we end up remembering the ones that didn't get consideration more than the nominees or the winners. Boys in the Hood, Do the Right Thing, one of my favorite movies of all time, by the way, Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
Did that win any awards? That's Spike Lee's?
I know it was nominated for a few, but I don't think it won any.
Wait a minute. Boys in the Hood.
Did Danny Aiello win as Best Supporting Actor for that, maybe?
One white guy in there?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, John Turturro was in
there, too.
Oh,
that's
right.
So. Boys in the Hood, Do the Right Thing weren't nominated in the years they were in consideration, but these films are classics now. To folks that want to boycott the Oscars, that is a valid position to have. The real fight, I think, again, this is according to John Singleton, the real fight, I think, is to support each other as artists and a collective to make more films. It seems black folks in Hollywood rally when something like this happens, but when young filmmakers need to be supported, new visions need to be financed and discovered. Everyone is looking for self. Let's have solidarity terms of doing good work and supporting each other as artists. That's what I bang on. All right, mm-hmm. Yo. That was my addition.
I didn't think it said that.
The demographic of Americans constantly evolving and changing, so will all its institutions, including the Oscars. If you want to boycott it and you think, you know, that's terrible, then don't watch it. If you're Chris Rock and you agreed to do this, I think you got to do it. And he can make a difference.
I would love to see him do it. He would certainly address it. At this point, with all the controversy, and we're still a month away, it certainly is something that he'll talk about. But I think he does a lot more good in going up there and making fun of it and saying, how do we fix this? I think that's the best move for him.
And that seems to be it. I mean, really, they repeat these. Like, I'm shocked they made the Dukes of Hazzard movie again with Jessica Simpson in it, right?
Right.
As Daisy Duke.
Right.
Why do they have to remake these things? Why can't they come up with different movies?
I don't know. People have been wondering that forever.
Have they officially run out of ideas?
Yeah. To some extent, yeah. All right.
Well, boycott if you want to. If you don't watch it, I do want to see whom a couple people might be wearing.
All right.
Or what, not whom. I guess I don't care.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break. Thanks, everybody, for calling in on that and for texting in on that. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.